Thank you for downloading this Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire podcast. And as a special thank you for you, we've got a special deal just for you. Beer 52 shipped themed monthly boxes of small batch craft beer straight to your door. You can get £10 off a case of 8 delicious exclusive craft beers selected to your preferences and the award-winning Ferment magazine and a snack using our code PROPER at beer52.com. So you get 8 exclusive hand-selected beers this month. It's Norwegian craft beers. The 100-page Ferment magazine and a snack, free next-day delivery, and flexible monthly subscription. All that for £14 in your first month at beer52.com.
Proper Sport at 6 on Radio Yorkshire. You won't miss a minute, whether they matter or not.
Fire it, he's going to dummy, he's going to
yes!
Win!
Curry's over the line. No, he isn't. He's close. Lost the ball.
It's off. Time set to
he's off.
He's gone.
Go on, Johnson.
This is the home of full match commentary. This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome along. This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. As always, every Monday night live on Radio Yorkshire, 6 until 8. We talk about the big topics. Will Scoey explode upon news of the England selection? Would you have picked Chris Hightington? And what about Chris McQueen? Go on, hands up, be honest. Who has actually heard of him before this morning's revelation? We'll get Scoey's opinion on that and more. We'll look back at what a win for Swinton. They knocked out the Giants. Are the Giants in crisis? We will discuss that and more. And who is to blame at Huddersfield for all their recent woes? Is it Rick Stone's fault, or is it a little bit deeper than that? There was a golden point win for the Rams as they beat the Bulldogs. Leeds beat a very spirited Doncaster at Headingley on Friday. Credit to Hull KR, who knocked out Super League Lee in the cup as well. The Wolfpack denied by 12-man Red Devils. Is Justin Carney in trouble? A great F charge awaits him this week. And wins as well for Barrow, Halifax and Featherstone will all make it to the sixth round of the Ladbrokes Challenge Cup. The league leaders, Castleford Tigers, were beaten again. It's back-to-back defeats for them. Big win for 12-man Hull FC after Liam Watts was sent off. Was that the right decision? Wigan, a spirited Wigan, overcame Catalans to go third in the table. And what about Widnes, bottom of the pile, but beating St Helens? What next for Saints? And just who is going to get that gig? We will find out. We'll discuss that as well as another defeat for Wakefield Trinity. We'll find out if Richard Shorewright's got the black armband on. It's Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. We're with you through until 8 at RL on RY on Twitter. You can get in touch as well via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. All we ask, please give it a share if you're listening in tonight. The more, the merrier. You know the drill by now. You've got something to say, Rugby League. Get in touch and say it. Welcome along. This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
Want your say on all things Rugby League? Radio Yorkshire, every Monday, 6 to 8pm. Opinions welcome, but be prepared to fight your corner.
First things first, have we got a medic in the building, just in case one of our number explodes tonight? Richard Shorewright, black armband on, another defeat for Wakefield.
No, not really. Disappointing. Oh. Disappointing. But small margins. You know, a couple of years ago, you'll remember, famously, Wakefield went to Warrington on a Saturday afternoon, and was it 80-0? The famous, we're playing for the middle eights game. So, we still might be in the middle eights, but there's a good a chance that we'll be in the top eight as well. But hey, Rich, better than we were that season, anyway.
Hey, Rich as well, I'm sure you played. You played rugby. You've had a game of rugby yourself, haven't you?
He famously knocked on in the Wakefield Heroes Cup final.
I'm going to say, get you down to Wakefield and learn one of them players to play the ball properly.
Which player would that be?
You know exactly what I'm on about. You know exactly, Mr. Fafita, what I'm on about. Can't play the ball properly. Cost you the game, son. Cost Wakefield the game.
In my day, we all played the ball properly. They don't do that these days. I've turned into one of those dinosaurs. Yeah.
You have indeed. Phil is here, editor of 4020 magazine. It's always interesting, Phil. We know it's going to be lively when our Twitter feed exploded this afternoon.
Yes.
At 12 o'clock. People worried about the desks being smashed.
Yeah.
About
fire extinguisher needed under the test.
Certain members of our team exploding on air, having a heart attack, blood pressure needs checking.
Wow, what's happened?
What's happened? What's happened?
What's happened?
What's happened? Phil,
I think
you well.
They are expecting him to blow up, aren't they? Some literally.
You know what? I'm actually a little bit disappointed with him today because we've just done the last tackle. You can follow us on Twitter at RL on our. You see that later on tonight. He was quite reserved, I thought.
I think he's saving it up.
Do you?
He was calm, measured, and disgusted in equal measure.
Disgusted?
Yeah, with the England selection.
Ah, okay.
But he didn't rant.
He didn't, and that's most disappointing. It's like a firework, you know, when you light it and you stand back and you go, is anything going to happen? Is anything going to happen? Is anything going to happen? Scully, have you ordered your Chris Hightington England shirt?
Oh, please, will you? Please, honestly. And do you know what, as well, when I say I don't want any overseas players playing for England, quite simple, I don't. And Chris Hightington, why has he been selected? He was rubbish when he got picked for McNamara in McNamara's year. What was that, 5 years ago, was it? So he's rubbish when he had an England shirt on then. And then for the other Australian to be picked, Chris McQueen, the Gold Coast Titans. Well, to be honest with you, I've never heard of him. And then also, too, as well, what somebody sent me this afternoon regarding... he was watching a cricket match and he absolutely loved it when the Aussies were absolutely giving it to the Poms and killing the Poms. Boy, oh boy, where's the loyalty? And quite simple here, do you know what I mean? Is that, Wayne Bennett, I think he's been disrespectful and to Super League. I think he's been disrespectful to our British players. Quite simply here, for mine, we should not be picking Australians, and certainly Australians, who aren't good enough to be playing for England. Simple as
he's
that.
He's as eligible to play for England as you
less.
Are.
I couldn't care less if he's eligible. He's not good enough.
This is not the Belle Isle.
I don't want Aussies playing for England. It's as simple as that.
Let's view them one at a time. Chris Hightington.
Yeah, rubbish for England when he played under McNamara. So why is he being reselected, Phil?
Well,
Kaplan?
It might be something to do with the fact that he's just won a grand final with Crunnell.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, then Crunnell or Sutherland, then I've got 17 Aussies in there. Pick all them for England then.
No,
if
but they don't have English parents.
Sorry?
They don't have English parents.
Phil, all Australians have England parents. We sent them over there 38 years ago.
Parents.
We all sent them over there 38 years ago.
He's eligible, and he's just
rubbish.
Won a grand final.
Right,
and
okay,
we
right.
want to win a
when
World Cup.
When he played
Cup.
For England then, 5 years ago, yeah. How did he perform?
He hadn't won a grand final. Well, actually, hey,
he
had won on
well,
the
I'll
West.
Well, I tell you what, then. I never won a grand final, but I won't bother playing for England or Great Britain.
He is rubbish. Seen as being able to do a job in the World Cup in 5 months' time. Nothing else to do with whether he's going to play for England. Mind you, if England had any fixtures after that, that would be another thing.
Right, so what job do we think he'll do then? A rubbish one? Like it did 5 years
so.
Ago?
No, I think he's been...
Do you rate Chris Hightington?
You have done your list of players that you
will
want...
Will Chris Hightington be selected for New South Wales? In the state of origin?
Well, I think that... Not if he's... made himself eligible for England, I don't think.
Oh, it's an Aussie. He can play for... He won't be good enough to be selected for New South Wales. So why should he be picked for England?
The part of this squad is to have a look at people who Wayne Bennett thinks can do a job for him. I would say that Tom Burgess is extremely lucky to be in this squad the way that he's playing.
I agree. He's playing rubbish.
And obviously George Burgess hasn't been selected because he's likely to be banned. So
yeah,
maybe
he's been playing rubbish, so he doesn't deserve
but maybe he wants to
Kyler Moore. They should have took Kyler Moore. He's playing good over here. He's playing good rugby league. He's playing, let him get a taste of international. It's only a friendly.
Well...
Tom Johnson should have been taken. Tom Johnson should have gone.
It's only a friendly on the basis of the fact that it's our final World Cup warm-up match.
You say final only.
So it's more than a friendly.
Okay.
No, it isn't.
It is.
It isn't. It's a friendly.
I think if you'd gone down the line of heritage players, then there is a case for saying that...
Phil, please, don't go for any more.
Chris McQueen, I have a slight issue with because he's already played State of Origin for Queensland. I would have picked Adam Cuthbertson.
Phil, Adam Cuthbertson in Australia, you know, couldn't make reserve grade. Why is he good enough to play for England?
Playing superbly at the moment. And he gives another dimension, and I think that we could have had a look at him in
rubbish. Cuthbertson is nowhere near an international player. The Aussies would laugh at us. The Kiwis would laugh. I tell you what, even Papua New Guinea might even laugh at us, to be honest with you. Cuthbertson's nowhere near good enough to be playing international. And next you'll be saying Garbutt, won't you?
No, he's not eligible.
Parcells, you'll be saying him next?
No, he's not eligible.
Why is he not? We sent him over there 35 years ago.
It's not about their deep ancestry. It's about parent or grandparent.
Well, what about all these Australians?
Republic of Ireland.
What about them who get picked for Scotland? And they're usually the grandfathers, the grandmothers, and Auntie Dot. to get picked for Scotland and Ireland.
At the moment, we've got three second rowers who will probably be in the England squad when the World Cup comes around, if they're fit, in Stevie Ward, John Bateman and Ben Curry. They're not available at the moment.
Liam Farrell?
There are two, I think, who have been left out who would have a case to say, why have you picked Aussies ahead of me? And I'm going on the fact that even Gary, most of the people that he picked in his column today are in the squad.
Yeah, I've got 13 out of the 20. Right. I left the NRL players out, so except for Widdop.
The only two that I would say who possibly would have a case would be obviously Liam Farrell, although we know what he can do, and we know that we're taking two of Wigan's senior players. Sean O'Loughlin's going as captain, George Williams is going hopefully as, probably the partner to Widdop, and I think Luke Gale should be in the squad, but Williams and Widdop for me at the moment is the partnership that I would go with.
Williams can't play seven, it's a standoff. Two different positions, Phil.
A short while ago, everyone was saying Widdop was finished and
He is sensational.
He's got a new four-year contract.
No, he's the best player in the league.
I'm not saying. He's playing almost as well as Chris Hynes.
But I'll tell you what, in the Four Nations, he was rubbish in the Four Nations. I was quicker than him in the Four Nations. He was garbage.
But if we're going to lose in two of their senior players, they also have a raft of injuries at the moment. It may well be that Sean Wayne has said he didn't want Liam Farrell to go. He has nothing to prove.
So Sean Wayne's picking the England team.
No, I think we said there is a maximum of three players
going from
Wigan. But I think if you took a third, it would take a real toll. There has to be negotiation.
Right, so take three off Casper, not off Wigan.
There has to be a big established club. No. So it's all right.
There has to be negotiation on the basis of the fact that
it's England, Phil.
There is no negotiation. Pick your best team. You can't, because you're running a round of Super League games at the same time, which is nonsense.
But the
only other player who might have had a case is Joe Greenwood, who's just moved over to the Gold Coast Titans. Apart from that, Mike McMeekin being in there is more to celebrate than Chris Hynington.
As Tom says on Facebook,
I don't think anyone's celebrating Chris Hynington being in.
Chris Hynington's money.
Apart from the Aussies.
He's won a grand final. Yeah, Josh Walters won a grand final. Get him in the team.
Good call, Victor Shaw, get him in.
Why is Tom Johnson not being picked?
When you make Phil Kaplan, Josh Walters has won it. He should be picked for England.
No, he shouldn't.
Well, why should Hynington then?
Because he's won a grand final with Cronulla, and Wayne Bennett feels he can do a job with some of the players he hasn't got available to him at the moment.
Are the grand final winners?
But he's eligible to play, that's the issue.
I agree with you on that.
He's eligible to play, he's allowed to play.
If only these
players... But is he the best player? I don't think he is.
Not good enough to play for England?
If only these Australians had the morals of an upstanding and great international sportsman, such as one who would say, I can't play for England, I am Samoan like Denny Solomon. Oh. Tom says,
"Yeah, let's get to some social media."
Joe Greenwood is playing better than Chris McQueen at the same club.
Who's this?
Joe Greenwood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Scully should explode. And all that. Simon says it's a meaningless friendly mid-season. Whoever agreed that at the RFL needs their head pounding.
Oh, it's not meaningless.
Is that a grade A head pounding or a grade B? We need to know.
So a lot of people are very excited about the England squad. Steve says Hynington only played 10 minutes in the grand final. Richie says, get him told, Scully. Craig Murdoch says, tell Scully to get off the fence. Si is back on the why do we have to pay to watch it thing, which I'm sure we'll talk about again.
Can I sling another one in here, right? We've got a coaching staff. Well, we're supposed to have a coaching staff, aren't we? But it's just Wayne's way. It's Wayne's way on nowhere, right? We've got a coaching staff here, right? Of all ex Great Britain internationals in the coaching staff, right? Right? Sinfield, Peacock, Scunthorpe, Anderson and Betts. What the hell do they think of Hynington and McQueen playing for England and as in the forwards?
Yes,
and what the hell do they think, and do they say to Wayne Bennett, hold on here, Mr. Bennett, or Wayne, or Benno, whatever terminology they use in the team meetings. Me, Kevin, Jamie, this will be the assistant coach, Dennis Betts, by the way, speaking. Kevin, Jamie, Paul, and Paul have had a meeting, and we don't really think he should be selected, so would you listen? Not a chance, not a cat in hell's chance. And let me tell you this as well, and I'm thinking from my days as well, If an Australian was going to be picked at number six instead of me, what would Scunthorpe, Sinfield, Peacock, Betts and Anderson think of an Australian taking their position exactly as what these are doing to the Super League players who are playing today? It's disgusting, it's disgraceful and it's disrespectful to Super League and to the British players. Simple as that.
If only it was Andrew Johns or someone. Jonathan Thurston's declared for England. That's all right, then. Chris Harrington.
Oh, dear.
Punter number one.
Table. Know, what do you think? Do you think them four, five ex-Great Britain players and England players have any say in team selection? I'm just reading here. Well, don't get me wrong here. I'm just reading here because Kevin Sinfield knows exactly the respect I have him as a person and as a rugby league player.
And he's endorsed
Kevin Sinfield is saying here, this squad has an exciting mix of power and pace and I'm looking forward to watching them play in a few weeks' time. We have a great group of players available for selection and I know that is incredibly tough for Wayne to select only 20 in this squad.
So please put down your £3.40 right now.
Have they had any say? Because I tell you what,
Gary.
And if they've agreed to these Australians being selected for England, well, I'm afraid to say, let me just tell you this, from an ex-Great Britain captain, for the most capped Great Britain player, it's apart from Mick Sullivan. I tell you what, I won't be supporting England in the World Cup. I'm out there for 6 weeks, one for sure. I won't be shouting, come on, England, because I don't want any Aussies representing us in the World Cup. Never this year. Never, never, never. Simple as that.
They're not Aussies. They're eligible to play for England.
Well, I'll tell you what then. Right, I'll tell you what then. Let me just say this then. When they're in that dressing room before, and they're all getting wound up, and all the British lads are saying, come on then, let's rip it at them Aussies! Let's rip it at them Aussies! Let's rip it at them Aussies! Yeah! You think they'll be jolling and saying, let's rip in? Let's rip in? Do me a favour, Phil. They're Australians, simple as that. Do you think they'll be singing the National Anthem? Will Wayne Bennett be singing the National Anthem?
If they're wearing the shirt, yes.
Don't think so. I did see David Waits in the National Anthem when he was in charge. What a waste of time he was.
Mm. He was the coach that goes in the nearest to winning a test series in recent memory.
Oh, we got beat 3-0.
Yeah, by a total of 6 minutes.
We got beat 3-0.
By a total of 6 minutes.
The game's for
80.
We got beat 3-0, Phil.
Fair enough. Yeah. Have you finished now? Have you calmed down?
Well, I'm very passionate.
Are you?
The national game. Of course I want England to win the Four Aces. Of course I want England to win the World Cup. But I want it done with English players.
Why should rugby league be any different to every other sport?
We've had this discussion before, and I'll say it again. I couldn't care less about any of us. Why do we have to copy them? Let me just say this. This New Zealand side, they're there for the taking. This Australian side...
The New Zealand side was full of Tongans and Samoans who were playing by heritage.
I couldn't care for New Zealand. Yeah, they're takeable. Don't worry about that. They're takeable. This Australian side, they're takeable. OK, then, yeah, on his day, he's the best player in the world and one of the best players that's ever been in Jonathan Thurston, so is Cooper Cronk. But we can more than match their forwards. If Wayne Bennett, the Australian, allows our players to play how we want to play, instead of taking it away from how they play the club football, if he allows them to take the club football into the international game, we look at how Widdop's playing now, we see how Luke Gale plays for Cass. I don't have an issue with the forwards. They can rip in. They can get stuck in them Kiwis and get stuck in them Australians. If we're allowed to express ourselves, certainly from a back line, we can win this World Cup. We can win this World Cup.
But you won't be supporting them, though.
No, what? We can win it. I won't be supporting them if we are full, or even any Australians that are in for the... And bearing in mind, I'm out there for 6 weeks.
But what if we win it because we've got those Australians? Or people like them, not necessarily these two.
So we'll be...
Is it more important for the game?
Are we going to be called Kangalon, then? Are we? Instead of England, Kangalon.
Is it more important for the sport that we win the World Cup?
We're not going to win the World Cup, anyway.
We just said we would.
But are we going to be called Kangalon? I said we've an opportunity if Wayne Bennett lets us play, but is that what we're going to call now? Instead of England, red, white and blue, we're going to be Kangalan with a bit of green in our shirts? No, I'm not having it, Phil. Not having it.
Conspiracy theorists on Facebook is Martin. It's the RFL saving money on plane tickets, picking eight Aussie players.
Well, surely if that were the case, they would have found a shirt for James Greenwood, surely, wouldn't they?
And they would have picked 20, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Shot down, Martin. Well, thank you very much.
There's a lot of support for Scoy, on Facebook. Yeah. Well, you can get in touch via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook.
I think there should be as well, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think there should be.
Some are questioning your commitment, though. They're not sure you're 100% English.
I'm not 100% English, but... just because I tell you what, there's going to be plenty of England fans going out there to this World Cup. You know, we don't want to see it. You know, we don't want to see it full of Aussies. And certainly rubbish Australians.
Has Mr. Fafita got an English grandparent?
Move on.
It's not going to be full of Aussies. It's a couple that he thinks might be able to do a specific job that the fans will get behind if England win the World
Cup. Scott, if you'd have got left out for an Aussie, what would your reaction have been? Bear in mind you can't swear
on the
radio.
But you keep saying it's an Aussie. It's an eligible England player.
One who's come out and said that he enjoys watching England getting beat. You can't pick him, Phil.
The McQueen one is an odd one because he's played State of Origin.
Exactly.
And that is where I think a line does need to be. I'm not a fan of
residency. Here we go then, from
residency,
McQueen. I've had this sent from
here. From McQueen? Still a girl on Facebook.
Hey, here we go. Jeez, McQueen, well. A few years back watching cricket and saying how great it was that someone in the Aussie side were killing the Poms. We're killing the Poms, Phil.
Yes.
He's got plenty of commitment for England. Absolute joke. I'll tell you what,
if he doesn't kiss the badge when he scores, I'm not having
it. He won't score. I'm more chance of scoring a try.
I think you might find that Sam Burgess has had a say as well about him being in the squad because they played together at Souths and he always rated him.
Slamming Sam.
Do you know what?
Nobody, he's either available nobody, or he isn't available.
Nobody has a say in this England side except Wayne Bennett and it's Wayne's way. And do you know what? Because I'm sure we'll discuss it soon about how many games and why this victory's going ahead. And it was simple. This is simple. This is Wayne Bennett's manifesto for England to Nigel Wood. Nigel, I'm available. Nigel, I'm available for the World Cup. Oh, Nigel. Oh, I need to get... Oh, a bit like Jimmy Savile. But anyway, I need to get Wayne as coach of England. Wayne Bennett's available. Right then, Nigel, there you go. There's my manifesto. I could care less about Super League. I could care less about the British players. I'll do it my way. It's as simple as that. And what we have done, we have just fallen for the... For the simplest thing there, Wayne Bennett just wants to be part of the World Cup. Are we going to win under Wayne Bennett? No, we're not. But he has treated our game disrespectfully and disgracefully by picking these two players, even for a friendly. Disgusting.
What's the point of Sean O'Loughlin, Ryan Hall, etc. in this squad? Because we know what they can do for England.
Both, who I have to say, would play in my England
in
the World Cup.
I'm not saying don't pick.
Sean O'Loughlin, who has got his injury troubles, yep. Do we need him going
yes.
all the way over
Yes,
there?
Because he's the captain. And I think you build your team around the captain. The captain is the emissary of the coach and the coaching staff on the field. And this is a dress rehearsal for what the World Cup is going to look like. So absolutely you should take your captain. Ryan Hall, you could say, doesn't need to prove anything. That might be where a Joe Burgess or a Tom Johnson would come in. But the bulk of the people who are going are the bulk of the people that are in probably all of our 20, if we were to pick it.
Well, I think people haven't seen the League Express. I've picked out my 17, and I've left out certain players because I know what they can do. If I was selected a semi-final team, obviously McGilfrey and Ryan Hall and O'Loughlin would be in. But my 17 to play Samoa in 2 weeks' time is players who are on form and players who deserve an opportunity. And also, as well, the reason why I picked Tom Johnson and certainly like Kyler Moore is to be around these egos around there for a week or so and be part of international set. Because sooner or later, the maybe selected, not under Wayne Bennett's era. I would imagine Dallo Powell when he takes over Wayne Bennett after the World Cup, to be honest with you. But my 17 to play would be Zach Hardacre, Joe Burgess, Callum Watkins, Mark Percival. Yeah, Shenley, we know what he could do, so he's a little bit lucky, but he'll certainly be in the World Cup. And Tom Johnson. The halfbacks, Gareth Widdop and Luke Gayle. Yeah, Williams is on the bench because Williams is not a scrum half, but the way Widdop is playing, he's the best player in the world so far, so you've got to select
him. I'm not sure Williams is a bench player, though, is he?
Well, so they picked one from the Cowboys, up the Aussies there, and maybe play him at lungs forward, so that's not a bad triangle. And then we've got Chris Hill, Josh Hodgson, Alex Wormsley, who certainly deserves a place in there. Matt Meakin, he deserves the second row. Elliot Whitehead, and then Sam Burgess at loose forward, then off the bench, George Williams, Darrell Clark, Scott Taylor, and Kyler Moore. Yes, yeah, some of the internationals who have proven themselves have been left out, i.e., like O'Loughlin, McGilvray, and Ryan Hall, because we're
but
not sure.
McGilvray isn't
do.
Proven. He only really came in at the back end of the test.
He's only played.
No, he needs to go abroad. He needs to be part of a tour. He's never done that before. He's only recently been bought into the squad, and he only played. At the back end. So he needs to go on tour. He needs the experience.
I'll tell you what as well here. I'm just looking at the League Express here. And in the column it says the players who should be picked for England. Have a look at the smile. Have a look at the smiles on the England players' faces, fellas. Just have a look. Look at Mr. Bennett. Quite simply, he's thinking, what am I doing sat here? Interesting.
What about the reaction then? At RL on RY, you can get in touch on Facebook.
Worryingly, there's a big call for Gary to be the next England coach, which I'm quite concerned about. But
who are you concerned about, Rich? Yeah. Why?
Because we need you in here.
But he can't be the England coach because he's not supporting
you. Do we have to say that to him? Or is that part of our contract?
Rod Studd's throwing in the hand grenade about.
What, Rod? Never. Oh, no. Never. Rod wouldn't do that, would he?
About, you know, when England rugby union team won the World Cup, the captain was born in New Zealand. Yeah. Plenty of cricketers.
Yeah, loads of cricketers.
Yeah, but you know, we don't have to copy anybody else.
It's not a question of copying. It's the world we live in. Every team is doing it.
To play,
every team is doing it.
I'm not having it. I couldn't care less. I'm not having it. I'm not.
Winning the World Cup would be the biggest boost that this sport could have. If somebody's eligible to help us do that, they should be included.
Okay.
Not in my opinion.
There are a lot of people saying Scully should be the next England.
I think there are a few calling him a dinosaur as well. So in the interest of balance.
I should point out to Simon, when I say Cass aren't an established club, I was being sarcastic in the sense that, well, they can have all their players taken away with them to go away for England, but Wigan and Leeds can't.
Yeah, come on, Simon.
A lot of people, yeah. Ian says, who will listen to Dennis Betts? Well, they got a win at the weekend.
Yeah, they
did.
Yeah.
They're still bottom, but, you know, there you go. We should not have an Aussie coach, says Shirley. We have plenty of British coaches available, including our own Lee Radford, in capital letters. Paul says, for the first time, Scully's talking sense. That's a bit
hard. Not the first time in 4 years.
Martin and a couple of others have asked, why no Tom Johnston? Which, I'd be biased, wouldn't I, if I said this, but hey, at least we got him for Wakefield instead of flying off.
Well, I'll tell you the reason why I would have took Johnston. Okay, yeah, he's an informed winner, he's playing well, and, you know, if he does make himself available for England, who knows, that Great Britain might be coming back from there, but I would have took Johnston, not just because of his playing ability, but, to be around these egos, around the hotel, around the training sessions and this sort of thing, and if himself, you know, he might be a little bit shy, he does look a bit shy himself, you know, but to bring that sort of personality what he's got, so not just for his playing ability, but I would have took Johnston around there to get used to these big personalities.
If you could only have one, Johnston or Greg Eden?
I would take Johnston. Eden's there's schoolboy mistakes, isn't there? There's them schoolboy mistakes. There was a couple there yesterday as well, so I would go for Tom Johnston, yeah. Yeah. But hey, I tell you what, we're not lacking in quality of Wiggins, to be honest with you. But yeah, I would have got Johnston out there. And I say, we know what Ryan Hall can do. We know what McGilfrey can do. Yeah, if it was a centre quarterfinal or semi final, them two would be absolute shoo ins. There's no debate about that whatsoever. But get Johnston in there, get him used to, the big egos and see how these lads act around, you know, around the breakfast table and the restaurants and in the dressing room and all this sort of thing and the training ground and just get a feel for it. And because it does bring out the best of players.
So that is why it's worthwhile doing this, then?
And no one's arguing with the game. We all want the game to happen, Phil, but it's like, well, you know, you're saying, oh, well, Wigan might not have released him, but it's a farce.
No, but the fact is, when you put any restriction on a maximum of three, you're not picking your best team.
Well,
by the same token, Samoa are not picking their best team. Because no Super League players are going to be released to play for Samoa. And there are at least two or three playing at the moment, possibly four, who would be within that 20-man Samoan squad that they'll be picking.
Here's a thought. The Aussies have got the week off. Why don't we have the game in England? And I know you want to go, they want to go away and stay in an hotel. I think they've done that. I think they're big boys. Why do we not do it? Play on a Wednesday night here in the middle. And if they want to back up like the Origin players do it. Let them do it.
It's a great dress rehearsal for being in the Southern Hemisphere for the World Cup. But by the same token,
they're not. By the time they've got out off the plane, unpacked the bag, played the game, they'll be going home again.
They'll be able to do things as a squad, both coaching and playing, the set philosophies for later on in the year. It's important.
Can they not do that in England?
I think they need to do it in Australia. What you would have would be an international weekend whereby there is no club commitment, and this is at the heart of the whole debate. There should be no games being played.
Agree with you.
And England would be going over there because that is deemed to be what England need to do to prepare for the World Cup. But coming back the other way would be players who are eligible for Scotland, Ireland, Wales and France possibly, and we should be having internationals in the same window over here. And we need to start taking the international game seriously. The World Cup hasn't just been decided. We've known about it for 4 years. This should have been a season whereby we made compromises for our players to enable us to have the rehearsals that we needed, for the coach to plan however he wants to. It's not for us to tell Wayne Bennett how he should plan his team going over there and what he wants to do when he's got there. He wants an international in the Southern Hemisphere. There is an international. The fact that we have got Super League games going on at the same time is a scandal when it comes to duty of care.
Does he not want one in the Southern Hemisphere? No, save him travelling halfway around the world.
No, I think he wants... You would think that at least it's going to be half and half, but the bulk of his squad may just be players who are playing over in that part of the world, and he wants to integrate them over there. He may even want to stay in the hotels that they're going to be staying in when they play Lebanon in Sydney. It's all part of professional sport these days. Nothing is left to chance. And if it helps England win a World Cup, fine.
Nothing is left to chance. We couldn't even organise a pre-season training camp, Phil.
Nothing in sport is left to... The best teams...
We tried.
Their planning is meticulous.
Their planning is... Are you winding me up? Their planning is meticulous.
I'm not talking about the RFL's planning. No, I'm saying the best teams that win things, their planning is meticulous.
Yeah, yeah.
And Wayne Bennett operates that way.
I'm surprised Benson and Edges aren't being named in this squad, because it's been written on the back of a fag packet, a la Mike Bassett.
Freddie, on YouTube, hello YouTube, says, what sort of message did it send to young players? Rather pick Aussies who aren't good enough, says Freddie.
Yeah, well done, Freddie.
They're not Aussies, and why are they not good enough?
They're not Aussies. Come out and said he likes to see England getting beat.
They're playing in the NRL week in, week out, which is a better competition than Super League.
Great. That's it. Great. Scrap Super League, Phil.
You're just saying that somebody who is playing for Cronulla, who have just won the title, is a poor player.
I'm just wondering who's going to punch Phil first. Is it going to be me or you, Gary? I don't know.
There wouldn't be a programme if we all agree.
Right, hold on then. Hold on then. Sam Burgess is playing in Australia. Tom Burgess is playing in Australia. James Graham is playing in Australia. So is Josh Hodgson, so is Gareth Winnup, so is Elliot White
in this squad.
I don't think they're Australian, they're all playing NL, they're all English. Also as well, Sam Burgess, Dewsbury Moore. Tom Burgess, Dewsbury Moore. James Graham, Blackbrook, right, and Chris Hyattson, Yumina Bunnies.
just outside Carlisle.
And Chris McQueen, Wynnum Manly Sea Eagles.
Yeah.
Phil, you're losing this one, son. They are 100% Australians, and they should not, I repeat again,
they should not be eligible
in this England squad.
They're eligible. Why would we not pick people that are eligible?
Well, they're not good enough to play for England. That's another of my debate. Never mind, I don't want any Aussies playing for England. They're not even good enough to put an international jersey on.
Jack says, Lee Mossop's been a revelation for us all for this season.
Don't play in the NRL, Jack.
He did play in the NRL for Parramatta.
In a try rubbish. Before you buy squad, which is a great way to describe it, he should have been picked for certain. Like the probables and the possibles. Jamie Shaw, Will Jefferson puts out as a suggestion. I guess with Zach Hardaker, there's not much chance there. John says, Joe Westerman. People are arguing if Sean O'Loughlin's good or not. Which obviously he is good.
Too inconsistent, Westerman.
Gary says, what is Westerman better than Lockers? Tiddlywinks, ha ha. So a lot of people having fun there. Dave's a fan of the fact we've got a dartboard in the studio. Greg says, you have to trust Bennett. If he doesn't know what he's doing, then we have no chance.
Greg, I wonder if he's related to Stuart. Greg Spruce. That's quite an interesting old Stuart Spruce. I do trust Bennett. My only issue with this is out of contract in the end of the World Cup.
Yeah.
So we're doing all this to please Wayne, and guess what will happen at the end of the World Cup?
Depends if we win it.
For balance.
Well, if we win it, he's not going to carry on anyway, is he? Oh, I've done my job, look at me now. Yeah, where's my £250,000 bonus, by the way?
Listen,
no, he won't.
If they win it,
they're going to go with him, right, if they're going to go with him, then for me, right, mate, when your contract's up at Brisbane, you quit, you come to England full-time.
Why does he need a contract? We don't know who we're playing in 2018. There isn't a single international been announced yet. This, again, is part of the problem.
I agree. It needs to be part of the game.
So why would he commit when there isn't a single fixture for him to coach in 2018 at the moment?
Will you admit that this is a half-baked idea?
I am passionately against playing Super League games at the same time as internationals, and I think that causes more problems than the squad that has been picked. I also think that I'm not 100% sure from the 20 players that he's picked. Is he trying to test some out, or is he trying to go with combinations that he will start within the World Cup?
Or is he trying to keep people happy so he doesn't upset the clubs again?
No, I don't think he works. Like Gary said, I don't think he works that way. But I just think he's
you don't think he works.
No, he's trying to do something with one hand tied behind his back.
Why is Liam Farrell not playing then? Because every time I watch him play, he must be the most outstanding second
row. Liam Farrell has just come back from injury. We don't know the negotiation that has gone on between the clubs.
Sean O'Loughlin's been injured for the last 3 years.
He's the captain. You need your captain. You build your philosophy around your captain.
Well, I'm gobsmacked. I am firmly behind.
We need an international window.
We need it. And we need
this is a botched job.
It is a exactly. It's a botched job.
But we have to do it. We have to have this dress rehearsal before the World Cup because.
So they know that so and so doesn't snow and won't wreck his mate.
No, I think it's more about combinations on the field. But
combinations on the field.
Part of it is to who would be your starting halfbacks? This is a chance to have a look at the combinations on the field.
Between, he had a chance in the four nations. He couldn't make his mind up.
Maybe that's why he needs this game.
One more game's going to make all the difference.
Well, Widdup's a different player than he was in the four nations.
One more game's going to make all the difference.
Well, it's going to help. It's not going to do any harm.
Gareth Widdup might be injured at the end. What's he going to do then?
Well, Chris Heinze might be injured. Or even Liam Farrell might be injured, which is why he's giving Chris Heinze an opportunity.
What about John Bateman?
John Bateman hopefully will be fit, as will Ben Curry.
What about James Greenwood?
Well, he's not picking the 24 at the moment for the World Cup. He's having a look at some people. Greenwood, Ward and Bateman and Curry will all have a chance of being in that 24.
So why are they not in then?
Because he's only picking 20.
Steve, do you honestly believe Stevie Ward will get picked for England?
I'll tell you what, mate, I'd rather see him than them two Aussies.
Oh, yeah, I'd pick you and Shaw right in the second row before them two. I'm telling you, honestly. Even if I were down on the numbers, I'd pick you, Wilson and Shaw right in the back row. And I'd even cap it that looks forward. That's a right triangle. Might be the slowest triangle that's ever played sport.
It's not even
never mind, but believe. But I'd pick you three before
it's not
any
even
Australian.
It's not even a Dairy Lee triangle.
Chris Hyington, we're coming for you. Joe Wood says, Chris McQueen has played for Queensland. Is he even eligible? Yes, he is, Joe. Or was that Queensland in Somerset he was representing? He also says, Chris Heinton is 34 and so average that the Matty Johns show use him as a running joke by calling him a superstar NRL player. Oh, dear. So, former Wakefield legend, Johns.
Rich, that's a point I made at the start of the show. The Aussies will be laughing at us. They'll be absolutely laughing, so with the Kiwis. You know, we're not even picking. If we are picking them, well, we are picking them, aren't we? Which, again, we're not even picking the quality ones.
If we pick
the good Aussies, it'd be all right. If we had Jonathan Thurston, it'd be fine. But we just pick some rubbish ones, so it's not good. That's basically the argument at the end of the day. A few people asked us what would be your eligibility rules score, but I guess it would just be...
You're English.
There you go, you see.
They are eligible to play.
I couldn't care less. I'm not having it. You know, when we pick Raggy Chase, you know...
Roger, whatever we called him,
you know, he's a falling out Kiwi, you know, and I know it's not his fault, it's the rules, but what the rules should be
is there should be no residency rule, you should never qualify on residency, and if you've played for any other representative team in another country, you shouldn't be eligible. So McQueen wouldn't be,
you're then killing off these,
you have tier two and tier one nations.
Would Galloway fall under that?
Well,
who's going to play for Scotland? All being well,
what do you want out of international rugby league? We don't have enough. We've only got 30 teams playing professional rugby league. So how many players have we got to transfer to make international football meaningful? The top three nations, Australia, New Zealand, and England, need to relinquish players to play for the nations that they are eligible for, because they've got everybody else to pick from. So if Galloway, by this heritage rule, should be able to play in the same way that Kyle Amore should be playing for Ireland in the World Cup.
Right. Anyway, we've got to move on. People want us to move on.
Do you think we'll spend more time talking about the squad than the actual game when it's played? Well, we're not going to watch it, are we, Sam?
Yeah, there you go. We'll move on. Such is the demand. If you want to get in touch, @radio_Yorkshire, @RL_RY is the easiest one to get in touch on. And you can get in touch on Facebook, which literally hundreds of you are doing tonight. If you are listening, please do share it with all your friends. We want to get your opinion. It is more than welcome. We're going to talk Huddersfield Giants. Are they in crisis? Richard Shaw, right?
I think I said earlier this afternoon, I almost have some sympathy for Rick Stone, because a lot of these players that are in his squad, weren't they signed before he got the job in the first place, before they even sacked the other fella? Yeah. So a lot of the players who we've been saying on this station, on this programme, from last season, were not great signings for a Super League side, because they signed from the team that were rubbish in the Championship. Why do we suddenly expect them to be any good now? I still cannot believe Wakefield lost at Huddersfield 6 or 7 weeks ago. I'm surprised they lost to Swinton yesterday. A team who spend, what, a tenth of the budget, if that, of Huddersfield, shouldn't be going there and winning. But give all the credit to Swinton. Their coach, John Duffy, giving all the credit to the medical staff, because they had 15 fit players and signed a couple on loan from Wigan and a lad on a non-contract basis or whatever. So give all the credit in the world to Swinton. Well done to them. I hope they get a plum draw tomorrow, big Super League side, and a load of money. I hope they earn a load of money for it, because they deserve it. And but hey, some of those Huddersfield players have got to be looking at themselves and thinking, how's this happened?
Is it not just though about who they've signed, but who they've let go and not replaced? They've had two massive retirees in Luke Robinson and Earl Crabtree who they've not replaced, but you know, there is list as long as your arm. Jake Connor, Brett Ferris, Scott Grix, Craig Hubie, Craig Kopp, Jack Sean Lunt, Joe Wardle, Carl Wood, just to name a few, who aren't there,
that makes a
great team on its own.
Yeah, I agree.
So the
that.
Issue is not just about Rick Stone and who he's inherited, and if you got rid of him, would it make any difference? You can add Ryan Brierley to that list now as well. It's what on earth has happened with Huddersfield's recruitment that has seen so many people allowed to leave, and then the quality of player that they've deemed to replace them. And I'm not sure that's a coaching issue. That might be something else.
Yeah, well, who is in charge of recruitment? Recruitment's been poor, Scurry, hasn't it?
Oh, it has,
Huddersfield for a long time.
It has, and I say they're in an absolute mess, aren't they? And I say, when I'm just reading Rick Stone's quotes here regarding what the situation is, and you know, say with the Ryan Brierley one, and he said he'll keep his thoughts to himself, but he says at the end of the day, if the player doesn't want to be at the club, you've got to make the decision around the people who want to be here. But I think Ryan Brierley signed at Huddersfield because he wanted an opportunity to, you know, to play in Super League week in and week out. He wanted to play halfback, but unfortunately there, so he got moved to fullback. And the kid himself, when he got opportunities as he was brought, he's a support player, can score tries, 30, 40, 50, 60, even 70.
Well, he's got 15 in 25 games for Huddersfield.
Yeah, so, you know, his try scoring record's pretty good, but by all accounts, Stone felt as though he was a luxury. And he didn't want to be, he didn't want a sort of a luxury player in his team. Well, he's brought somebody over from Newcastle who's supposed to be a Jonathan Furser, Andrew Johns, Dallin Lockyer, and a Wally Lewis all in one. And we've only seen him once this year, and they still got beat by Swinton. And then when he said, how hurt was his team from this year? He said, well, we all are, and we're embarrassed. But this is the biggest thing for mine, what he says is, we've got to be patient with it. And in the short term, some of those results aren't great, but it just tells us a bit where we are as a club at this moment in time. One thing for sure here, Rick Stone, patience is running out. You are, at this moment in time, looking down the barrel of...
Why would you expect them to be any better when they've... But my point, the greatest world in the world, not improved their squad.
But I said it before, Mark, and I repeat myself again when I said about Rick Stone. He doesn't know his players... He doesn't know as individually what they can do, I don't think, and also too collectively as a team, he doesn't know what sort of style of play he wants to play, so how can he get the best out of his players?
I think he might know what style he wants to play, but he hasn't got the players that can play that style. Because that style,
well,
obviously...
What style do you think he wants to play?
I think he wants to be predominantly power-based, by the look of it, because he doesn't deem that Ryan Brierley fits into that.
But he can score tries.
The worry is, how do they change it? Because even if they change the coach, and I'm not in any way advocating that they should, the coach has to work with the same squad of players. So how is this season now going to be anything other than a desperate fight not to be in the £1 million game?
They are going to be in the £1 million
game. I'll go one further. I think they'll do well to get in the £1 million game. I said at the start of the year,
you think they'll get relegated?
And I think they're staring down the barrel.
So we'll look at the recruitment then. Obviously, Ken David's at recruitment. You know, Ken David, the hard work.
But he does sign the checks.
I agree, yeah.
And he does need some safeguards if he is.
But he puts people in positions, as we know that. And I say, Fulis, by all accounts, is it Richie Fulis, I call him his first name? He's, by all accounts, he's the guy who does all the recruitment, and he has done an absolute shocker with the recruitment of what he's got there. And by all accounts, you know, they are spending up to the salary cap. But I'm just looking here of this the Huddersfield side, and when you look at the team, what they had out there, there's enough quality in that side, realistically, to beat Swinton, you would say, for 40
for certainly in the pack.
But let's take nothing away from Swinton. They went there with the right attitude, went there with the right desire and commitment, and I say, and they've got a quality young coach as well in John Duffy, you know, and I say, but will these young English coaches get an opportunity? Look at like a Paul Cook at Lee, John Duffy from there, the guy who's at Rochdale, Mark, is it Killshaw, is it?
Yeah, Alan
Killshaw,
yeah.
You know, will these guys get an opportunity, you know, like Rick Stone, he didn't really do anything in Australia. Will these young English coaches, will they get an opportunity
to coach the
Super League?
That A, the recruitment has been poor.
It's been
and
shocking.
And B, that the coach who is currently there at the moment is not getting the best out of what he's got.
Well, he isn't, is he?
But so in which case, they've got two issues they've got to resolve. I mean, you've seen them a lot this year, and you've said their starting props are, and the stats would bear it out, are as good as anything in the league.
Ikeifo's been outstanding this season, for my money.
He, again, is, you know, he's got, what is it, the most number of tackle busts in the whole of Super League. But when he's withdrawn and when Akumatai's withdrawn, there isn't enough coming off the bench. And I worried about, there's two things that I think that are a bit telling at the moment. Craig Hubie said when he left Huddersfield, who is an offloading player, that he wasn't enjoying playing rugby there. Ryan Briley, when he's left this week, has said he wasn't enjoying playing rugby there. What is there not to enjoy at the moment? Is it that they're all restricted?
Ryan Eastcliffe
said last year he didn't enjoy coming to work.
Ryan Eastcliffe has come from Melbourne Storm as a grand final winner.
Oh, has he played for England then, is he?
If he was eligible, he'd be a good selection. He's won a grand final.
Also, as well, I'm looking at the...
Hold on, he hadn't finished then.
But I'm just saying, if all of these people are saying that they're not enjoying being in that environment, who is responsible for that environment? Is it the coach? Is it the chief executive? Is it the owner? It strikes me not... The last great cup upset, and I think, again, you cannot praise Swinton enough. This is a giant killing in every literal phrase of the word. Was probably in 2003 when Hunslet did the same to Huddersfield, and that was a Huddersfield that Tony Smith was trying to rebuild. They were just finding their feet again, getting back into Super League, and Tony Smith wanted to take them to the next level. Are we seeing a different Huddersfield now to what we saw in 2003 when they suffered that defeat? Have they? Yes, they've made big occasions at Wembley, they've made playoffs, but are they not in the same place that they were 14 years ago?
Well, I'll tell you what Ken Davey would be thinking. I hope not. Won't he? You know, Ken Davey takes no blame for this whatsoever. It's a mess from Fewlis and it's a mess from Rick Stone.
How do they turn this around? Because this, to me, Rick Stone, and I said this before, is a victim of the salary cap era because they cannot clear out the team and start again.
But we haven't mentioned one name at the moment.
Go on then.
Danny Brough.
Right.
Where does he figure in all of this? We knew that some of the issues last year was the captaincy being taken off him, which was a brave decision by Paul Anderson.
Badly handled.
Where?
Cost him his job.
Where now do Huddersfield go? Because Danny Brough didn't play this week. Do they rebuild for the rest of this year around him?
Can I ask a question? I've spoken about this a lot off air, right? Can anyone at home listening tell me when Danny Brough last won Huddersfield at a big game? Like George Williams wins games for Wigan. Like Luke Gale wins games for Castleford. When did that last happen? We talk about him, right? As though he's this megastar. Is he actually that good anymore?
Yes, he'd get into most teams. I think if he came up on the open market, you'd find most clubs with bed.
He was on the open market last year.
Depending on how much he was on the open market.
So he's not worth that much then?
Well, no, it depends how much salary cap you've got left to spend. Because if you come up during a season...
Marquee player, Phil, anyone could have bought him last year. There's only two teams, weren't there, with a salary cap, with a marquee player?
Age is against him on that respect. You wouldn't sign a 34-year-old marquee player unless it was Chris Hyington, I don't think. But the
changing the subject. It's a serious question.
I brought up Danny Brough. Where does Danny Brough fit?
I think he's magnificent. So why should they build the team around him?
Well, what option have they got left for this? If you're saying what do they do in the immediate short term, it has to revolve around him, surely. But then what is the plan in place for his succession? Because it certainly isn't Ryan Briley anymore.
No.
They haven't replaced Luke Robinson. The,
some it's of, not Lee Gaskell either, is no. it, to be fair?
And some of the... Although I would say we're towering all the Bradford players with the same brush, but I think Alex Meller has made a difference.
Look, individually, they've all got something to bring to the table.
Yeah.
But
you can't bring them all in.
You don't see Premier League teams going out signing six players from the Championship, no. putting them all in the first no. team, and then wondering, oh, why are we in the no. Championship?
So I don't understand the Huddersfield plan, but I can't see at the moment anything other than it has to revolve around Danny Brough.
You see, also as well, you know, they signed all them players from Bradford. Who obviously it's Furious who signed from Bradford. What has he seen in them to be good enough to be Super League players week in and week out? I don't get it. I just don't get it.
What I get it if they still had salary cap left. And they could go out and sign and fill some of these gaps. But apparently, there is no wriggle room on the Huddersfield salary cap, which might indicate that, yes, give people a chance, but do you pay them top dollar?
We've got problems with our feed.
We are sorting it out.
Is that being sorted out? Apologies for that. You can listen online, radioyorkshire.co.uk as well. You don't just have to listen on the Facebook page, just for people if you are having a problem. Go on, carry on, sorry.
No, I was just saying, why is Huddersfield salary cap full when their recruitment has seen more players leave than arrive at the club?
And they'd have been,
does it mean that they are overpaying the players that have left?
They'd have been on big dollars, wouldn't they? Mm. You know, when you look at some of the names that have left, what's about 10 or 12 names of quality ones there. Now, I tell you what, I bet they wish they had them all back now, don't you?
Well,
because they've got to replace the quality, haven't they?
I go back to the Jake Mamo signing. This is obviously a player that Rick Stone wants, because he was with him at Newcastle.
He's a winger.
He's a fullback. But why would you sacrifice Joe Wardle?
Why didn't he play yesterday?
They rested him. He scored two tries in two games, having come back from an ankle injury. And I guess they felt they didn't need him.
Well, that's just disrespectful to the opposition. As I say, Phil, as we were talking before we came on air, like in my day with the Challenge Cup and when we got drawn against the lesser sides, our philosophy and our mentality was simple. We blow them away for the first 40 minutes, then we just take the fourth, I guess, for the second.
Which is what Leeds did against Doncaster. Well, that's 40 points up at half-time. Doncaster were great in the second half, but there was nothing they could do to win that game.
And that's the sort of attitude what you need, isn't it? It is.
Good stuff. Are we back on?
I think so.
You can listen online.
Tom
at radioyorkshire.co.uk.
Tom is kicking the Commodore 64 in the office, which is streaming.
Has he put the tape in the right way around?
So we're sorting it out. Worryingly, Nick was messaging on his Facebook earlier, saying that Huddersfield's last big signing was Scully. It's obviously forgotten the time they signed Scully.
We're in about now. We're in about where size?
100 grand.
135, actually.
135 grand?
135. Huddersfield, the history of
what are you laughing at?
What am I laughing at?
What are you laughing at? Leeds were skint, and I say that coach of ours, as we know, who I can't stand.
So hold on, let me get this right. You didn't go to Wigan, you went to Huddersfield.
Well, because Leeds were skint. Leeds were skint, and, you know, they were nearly £5 million in the red, as you call it. Is it not the black, is it? It's in there. Nearly £5 million in the red, and they needed some money, and so I was the only asset where somebody would buy, and they got 135 grand, and then they went and bought out that hall for...
Carl Hall?
No, Dean, the scrum half.
Dean Clark.
The way they bought Dean Clark. I'm telling you, honestly, Mark, I have seen you run. I have seen you run over 5 yards. You were quicker than him.
Kiwi international, Dean Clark.
But when I heard the sound, I went to Dean Bell. I says, you are kidding. You got rid of me because the club was getting 135 grand, and you signed him. So well, that's all we could afford. We couldn't afford to bring all else in. You know, that 135 grand just went to fish and chip shop or something like that. You know what they ordered, whatever. You know what I mean? It was the mistake what I made. But anyway, that's the way things are, isn't it?
Rob has tweeted us from the future because he'll be listening to the podcast tomorrow, which is today. Hello, Rob. Do the panel think that the teams who finished in the top 8 last year have been hard done by having to play in the league this weekend rather than a Challenge Cup game against lower opposition? I know 2 of the 4 teams are out of the cup after fielding a weaker team, but the top 8 have had to back up after Easter with no chance of resting players. Cheers, Rob. Thanks, Rob.
Cheers for that. Don't forget, you can...
Yes, by the way, he's absolutely right.
You two can download the podcast. How do they do it, Rich?
The link is on twitter.com/RLonRY. And yeah, you can also vote for us in the podcast awards.
Yes, please do.
Yeah, what?
Please do. Yeah, we've been, well, we've been asked to put ourselves forward, I think, basically. We've just got a begging ball out, literally. if ever you do, you know, the feed went down, just let us know. We'll sort it out. We've got good boots. We can kick stuff. Yeah.
I think as someone pointed out, just put the leave the pictures on and then mute the feed and then listen to us online at radioyorkshire.co.uk.
Yeah, radioyorkshire.co.uk.
So even though our mouse won't be in sync, it'll be like watching one of those dodgy DVDs, but...
Hold on. What are you on about?
Well... Maybe like watching illegal streams.
Or even Sky on a Friday night when you listen to the Radio Yorkshire commentary.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, especially Phil, company man, get him a pair of eyes.
The point was, I was watching Witness and Saints and listening to Leeds Doncaster, which was infinitely a better game without pictures, it has to be said.
I told the lads before we came on there, that game on Friday night, Witness and St Helens, and I have to confess, fellas, that come 9:05, I fell asleep watching it. It was that boring. I didn't know the result until 10:15 when I woke up.
Talk about that a little bit more after the news. Thanks to everyone that's got in touch so far. You can get in touch as well at RL on RY. You can get in touch via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. Please, all I ask, if you listen on Facebook, share it with your friends. Obviously, there are loads listening. We can see that, and we know it by when the feed went a bit iffy. But share it with your friends. Let them know. The more, the merrier. This is the only show on the radio where you can get your say on all things rugby league. So make sure you join us. We'll be back with more after the news at 7.
Proper Sport at 6. Want your say on all things rugby league? Radio Yorkshire, every Monday, 6 to 8pm. Opinions welcome, but be prepared to fight your corner.
Be prepared to stand your ground. Exactly, that's what we want. People that are willing to come on and say it as it is. Scoy's here, Phil Kaplan is here, editor of 4020 magazine. Richard Shawright, the man who famously knocked on in the Wakefield Skills Cup final with a try-line begging.
93.
And now his career is in ruins after he fractured his ankle.
Yeah, I'll bring him a medal next week, I've still got it.
You've still got a medal?
Yeah,
that's one more than Scoey's got.
Unlike Keith Senior, I've not sold my brother's medals.
Yeah, but he won.
No, he lost.
Oh, never mind. You spoiled the illusion now.
So, Richard, you're gossing the final by dropping the and you broke your ankle at the same time?
Well, no, I broke my ankle about 20 years later.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to say because you dropped the ball. You deserve to break your ankle.
If anyone's got a spare $3,000, you can buy Derek Rocky Turner's Challenge Cup final winning medal. It's on eBay.
From which year?
62. So if you've got a spare $3,000 and you've got to donate it to us.
Well, could give it to Gary.
Yeah.
Nick has been on Facebook. He said, Gary, we haven't seen you down the Shire for a while. Big Roy Dickinson will be down for the 30-year Challenge Cup reunion. And you should pop in, as he used to say, Chris Anderson had you in his back pocket all over Thirlwall. What would you like to respond to, Nick?
What, Chris Anderson?
Yeah, he had you in his back pocket, apparently.
Please do me a favour, Chris Anderson. good bloke, though, Chris. What a bad player. He brought a great atmosphere to Halifax. The lads will certainly be reminiscing. And, his attitude, well, certainly, because we're only part-time. It was the nights, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday mornings. And, one thing for sure, the watering holes in Halifax when Chris Anderson was about, they was packed every Tuesday and Thursday nights. He used to tell the speckies where the lads used to go. There were discos, there were karaokes, and, had a great time, but he did a great job, didn't he? They won the championship and they won the Challenge Cup, didn't they?
You know,
did a great job, Chris Anderson. And the Shire, I've not been there for a while, but a good atmosphere from there. And I just want to say to Ian Crowe as well, Ian, who's one of the directors there at Halifax. He's not well at the moment, isn't he? And he's been suffering with sciatica, and I think he's got a few more bit of a problems as well, Ian. So all the very best to you, mate. And the way the Halifax are playing, hopefully they can get a smile back on your face and get well soon, mate. I just want also as well to say to everybody who played in the Debbie Charlton Parker Group Golf Day last Thursday, thank you very much. It was a great day, the weather was good, and my good friend Ian Johnson, who used to play for Bramley and Dewsbury, ex-professional player, didn't stay on very long. I think the longest he was on a pitch for about, I think, about 3.5 minutes. I think at every scrum he wasn't going for the ball, it was going for somebody's jaw or somebody's leg or somebody's head. But Ian Johnson's team won it, and it was all proceeds for Tin Gemmers. Great day, and I think it's looking like we raised between around about £5,500 and £6,000. So, well done to everybody who turned up and everybody who contributed.
This is like the bit of the programme when you're in church and the vicar goes through the notices. Scoy just has his list of things to get in.
No, but Ian Crowe at Halifax, get well soon, and hopefully at Halifax you'll have a great time, and certainly Big Roy will be putting a smile on everybody's face. Is he coming over, Chris Anders, anyway? Is he coming over?
I don't know.
Peter's made a point about the Challenge Cup. He says all the attendances were pretty low. Leeds were 8,000 down on what they usually get in the Super League. I guess you have to pay to get in, which is always a problem with the Challenge Cup, but it does give revenue to other clubs. Surely the concerning crowds are not necessarily Leeds' on Friday, but Huddersfield, Salford... You know,
played at strange times, though, didn't they? At midday on a Sunday.
Was Salford's kick-off early because it was Toronto? And the time it was quarter past 12 would be useless for Toronto.
That crowd there at Huddersfield, 1,200. Yeah. And 98.
I know you have to pay for these things. I know there's a lot of other things to buy and do whatever in life. It's expensive these days, we know that, but...
I suspect a lot of Huddersfield fans didn't go because they thought they were going to have an easy victory.
They're not going to Friday night, they're not going to Thursday night, are they?
All right, let's lay off Huddersfield.
Is there but this is not just a rugby league problem, is it? Rugby union, no one goes to watch their cup competitions. No one goes to Carnegie anyway, but...
Not in the early stages.
FA Cup, League Cup, you see those crowds, they're not big, aren't they? Not compared to the league fixtures.
Well, we've spent years selling this idea of a season ticket philosophy, that you get real value for money by paying for a number of games. You then ask to pay £15 for one game, it suddenly seems inordinately expensive.
Yeah, it's a strange one. It's like the old...
It's like the playoffs, isn't it? We get to the playoffs, which are arguably more important than the league season you've been to, unless people go.
Yeah. It's like the old Bradford City season ticket. When it first came out, I missed it at £150 or whatever it was, so I didn't bother. And then you think, well, I'm not paying £20 to watch one game when I could have watched them all for £150. Mm. And now you think, well, I'll buy a ticket and I never go... But I still think I'm getting a great deal because it's £150 even though I don't go. Nah. And it's like, well, how does that work?
Here's some news. First of all, Richard says Salford played at that time because Man United kicked off at 3 and were on the telly. And?
They were at Burnley, weren't they?
They were at Burnley.
I think that kicked off at 1:30, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burnley.
So there you go, that's wrong in the first place.
Well, isn't our Thursday night game clashing with the Manchester Football Derby this week?
Well, it's just tough, isn't it?
It just happens.
Everything clashes with everything these days. Nick says yes.
Yes, what? I agree.
What's the answer?
Chris Anderson will be there.
All right.
Grant Reading. Grant Ricks.
What day is that?
I'll have to go back and
forth. No, why have you not had an invite?
Well, I didn't play for Halifax, did I?
Nick, tell us again when it is.
Well, you're a bit of a glory hunter, aren't you?
I didn't play for Halifax.
But you know someone who did.
But I'll tell you what, though, it was a great atmosphere, that, from all in them days, you know, and it was awful walking from the dressing rooms and playing on that slope, and, oh, it was absolute awful, but it was a great atmosphere.
And cold.
Oh, yeah, it was a great atmosphere, but, I remember doing ankle ligaments there. Steve Hampson just came steaming in and 2 feet first and did my ankle ligaments at the from all and getting stretched off and carried off, and the Halifax fans...
I bet they showed you some sympathy.
I think it happened around about 52nd minute of the second half. Of those, so it should have happened 30 minutes ago. Should have got you off 30 minutes ago. Plenty of sympathy from
that.
That
was the Leeds fans.
Oh, 1st of July, lads. There you go, Nick.
Oh, it's my birthday. 1st of July.
There you go.
Be a double celebration. 44th celebration.
Lots of comment coming out yesterday after that Salford Toronto game, which obviously, apart from the 1,300 people in the ground, no one in this country watched, but lots of people who were there very upset by Toronto's tactics, and the good doctor.
Of course, we're
looking forward to seeing him in court this week on the telly with Derek Beaumont on Judge Rinder. But he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy with
But Salford officially have wished Toronto all the best for the remainder of the season.
However,
what was the situation then? What sort of tactics?
Well, I've not seen it.
Do we know?
It was apparently rough.
Anybody had any feedback? If the great doctor, if you're listening, can you elaborate?
Some people on social media yesterday were suggesting what you would expect from a team coached by their coach.
Overly robust, I think. But Paul Rowley's renowned for playing open and attractive rugby, isn't he?
Interesting one. Interesting.
But Liam was a benchmark. Apparently, has signed a new deal at Wakefield.
Excellent.
Just to get that out there. So,
how long for?
Finny, I hope with your contract you've got, you get yourself a brand new pair of spikes because it's a bit of pace.
Yeah. Do you like to be staying? Let's have a look.
Good luck.
Oh, an additional year.
Excellent.
Another year at the end of this one.
Ireland captain as well for the World Cup.
Fully deserved.
Only man in Super League to be tackled by a worm.
He's been one of Wakefield's best this year. I tell you what, he's took the goalkeeping duties on as well. So, well done, Finny. Yeah, delighted for your son. Delighted. Yeah, and he'll do all right in the World Cup for Ireland.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Who are you going to support, if not England?
It depends who's buying me more schooners, to be honest with you.
Pappy, you're beginning.
Can be bought.
Because I should warn you that Ireland, Scotland and Wales will have heritage players, so...
I couldn't care less about Ireland, Scotland and Wales.
No, I'm just saying.
I couldn't care less about them. They can do whatever they want.
Who are you going to support? England. France?
I'll just go then. I'm going on the supporters ship, but you know, we're
going. No, you're not. You're going on the freebie. Let's cut the rubbish. You're going on the freebie.
I'm working. You know, there's going to be a ton of supporters out there.
Another drink, yeah, please.
I'm going to, you know, so I'll just make sure everybody has a great time, enjoy the Scully experience for 6 weeks, and we'll see what happens.
You'd rather do 7 years in strange ways than spend 6 years, 6 weeks with you.
That's a bit harsh, isn't
it? No, it's not. It's perfectly fine.
I'll tell you what, it'll be like paradise. It'd be like
murdering paradise.
It'd be like honestly, by the dashboard light.
It'd be like Fantasy Island. And let me just tell you this: when I was down at Casper 2 weeks ago, this gentleman came up to me and said, "Scoy, I've just booked on to go to Australia. Me and my wife for 6 weeks." Oh, great stuff! Yeah, yeah. Who are you going with? I'm going with your lot. Crawley days. Oh, lovely, great stuff. And I said to him, "You know, overall, you might need about £75 per day." I said, "But if you're drinking with me for every six, just make it under the day. We'll have a good time." And he said, "Do you know what, Scoy?" He says, "The reason why I booked the Glory Days," he said, "because I want to spend six weeks with you talking about rugby league."
Oh, shut up, for goodness sake. Shut up. I've turned you off now. I'm sick of hearing it.
Honestly, that's a cash man. 6 weeks with a legend.
If you want to share me room in Newcastle, I'll happily get another room. You can spend a weekend with Scoy there. Yeah. Sublet me room.
That's a bit harsh with the show, right, isn't it? Eh?
Looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
Play. He complains about sharing the room with me, does Matt Wilson? Richard Shaw probably, right now. Yeah. Phil, are you going to Newcastle? I mean, you'll share a room.
I'd be honoured to.
I'd rather share a room with a pit full of snakes. Horrible.
We're not back to Solomona again, are we? Gary says it's all about the grand final these days. Challenge Cup isn't the same, even for us Wigan fans. Plus, the new Wembley is garbage compared to Old Trafford. You've never been in the press seats at Old Trafford, Gary.
Opposed to Wembley, which is very good.
Lovely, yes.
It is. Keep your interaction coming in. It's an open house now. We'll talk about whatever you want, rugby league-wise. We were told to move on from the England the England squad, so we've moved on from that.
Hold on. Kangaland.
Could I just say, I think Mike McMeekin is a fine addition.
Absolutely.
And it also shows that if you spread your talent pool a little bit wider, there are players of top... There can't be too many that were born in Basingstoke and played for West London Sharks,
who are now playing for England. But, like Rick Stone, hasn't done at Huddersfield, hasn't give Briley an opportunity. If you coach, like Darryl Pyle, coach like Sean Wayne, they will give youngsters an opportunity to express themselves, play how they want to play, and you'll get the best out of it.
But you've got to have the raw material, and the point is, there are players out there that we are not mining.
There's stacks of players out
there. Who would be good enough at some point with the right coaching to play for their country.
But the coach needs to have the confidence to say, listen, you're going to make mistakes. We know what Shaw's done with Williams, but also too with Matt Meakin, with Darryl Powell.
But
go out there
we
and
want the pathway
himself.
So that Darryl can look at the raw talent of a Mike McMeekin and
look how good Springer is now at Castleford. You know, he wouldn't be that good if it wasn't for Darryl Powell.
Well,
he wouldn't, honestly, because
even,
he wouldn't be allowed to express
himself.
Even
the man whose name we must not mention.
Him.
Went from an average winger to Super League leading scorer.
Listen, only because he got the right service. I said Mark Wilson, Richard Shaw, right for back rowers. Even them two on the wing could have scored 26 in
that. That was a great thing last week. It was announced in the England squad, and thanks to Eddie Jones for giving Cass a few more quid now, thanks to when they saw
that. Has he been selected in the England squad?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't you know that?
They showed it on the telly, and they showed his tries last year for Cass, and they're all supplied by Luke Gayle. I'm thinking, they signed the wrong fella, Luke Gayle.
Oh, has he been picked for England to go to Argentina?
Yeah. He never would play for England at rugby league because he's Samoan, but that extra 22
Well,
grand,
is he Samoan or is he New Zealand?
Well, we played for Samoa, didn't we? Gary, we've been asked about the Watts red card. You were there yesterday, Scoy. Should he have gone?
First thought, yes. Yes, but then when we were talking about it at half time, it looked as though that Luke Gayle was just falling down into it, and it may have just caught him with the arm as he was going down. But Lee Crooks, he was in the boardroom, and he was speaking to James Clark, who's the chief executive at the Black and Whites, and they've seen it back on replay, and Watson came in with a swinging arm by all accounts, and yeah, he got Gailey off, head test, he couldn't come back all, and even, I think Scott Taylor's mentioned in the League Express that he saw it, and it wasn't very nice what he saw from there, so yeah, he deserved to go, to be honest with you, and I say, did it, yeah, it cost Casper the game, because obviously Luke Gayle taken off there, Max Shane was nowhere near the influence what Gailey is, but one thing for sure here now, the black and whites, they were absolutely outstanding, and when you look at the two games previously, what they played at the KCOM, 54 against Salford, 52 against Leeds. And after that game, we was in the presser, Matt, weren't we? And Radford, it was Good Friday, he just said, I want to get back out there now. I want to rectify this situation with defensive effort. Went to Lee, good defensive effort. But yesterday, the defence, the 12-man for an hour, because, as we all know how Cass play, throwing the ball about and asking many, many questions. But their desire and their commitment to one another, the communication, was sensational. And Albert Kelly running down Greg Eden from, he must have given him about 6-8 metre start from then, caught him before he went to the 22, and they were a pleasure to watch. And I'll tell you what, overall it was a proper game of rugby league, because good game of rugby league from both sides, penalties, a sending off, and the rubbish referee. There you go.
But what I'll
say about Robert Hicks is, I just want him to put his whistle away at times. You know, we play a contact sport. You know, and when there was a bit of an incident in the first half, and both teams, honestly, they just wanted to rip into each other. Do you know what I mean? They were both fired up. They'd been a bit of an argy-bargy. They were both fired up, wanted to rip in, and what did he do? Blew the whistle four times in about 6 minutes, just to making sure, you know, nothing really went on. And all both teams wanted to do was just to rip in.
He said the sending off turned the game, but Hull were already 18-0 up at the time.
Yeah.
Likelihood is they would have gone on and won it whether Luke Gayle and Liam Watts had both stayed on the pitch.
Most probably. Over the 480 minutes, as I say, Hull deserved the win, and I know Dal will be very, very disappointed, because you know what? We know how entertaining Cass are. At times, you know, because they've got forwards who can do it, they just needed to go straight and hard and direct just to suck the defence in. And nowadays, I call it, you know, we're playing 30s, 50s and 70s. If Cass had done just to been a bit more patient playing to the 50s and the 40s, they would have just burned out that more energy of the black and whites and may have got there. But hey, at the end of the day, they weren't smart enough.
They started the game slowly. As well as Cass, and this was one occasion when it's caught up with them. That would be more of a concern, I would have thought.
And plus, as well, the goal kicks. You know, with Benny Roberts, he missed two simple goal kicks, to be honest with you, which, again, in the end. But, hey, take nothing away from the black and whites. They fully deserve that.
It's a remarkable turnaround.
Oh, absolutely. They were sensational, and I'm sure others will be delighted.
How much of it's down to the third game of Easter?
I'm not buying it. Do you know what, Phil? After that Leeds game, Radders wanted to get his players. Mark will tell you, he wanted to get his players out on that park now and started to play again for another 80 minutes. You know, he's not having any of that.
It does have an effect, and it affects different teams in different ways. Were there any really good? I mean, that obviously was a heroic defensive performance from Hull, but what was the overall standard like? Was it down on a normal Super League game? Because certainly
Widnes Saints was.
I thought Warrington Wakefield was.
Oh, Widnes Saints. Well, I told you, I fell asleep watching it. It was rubbish. Absolute rubbish. And
is that the price we pay?
Warrington Wakefield was rubbish. That was poor. But no, you see, if I was giving it points out of 10, Cass and Hull, I would have given it 8 out of 10, to be honest with you. Yeah, I would.
Good.
But them two games that were on telly, they were absolutely rubbish.
And you
rubbish.
Saw Wigan Catalan. Was that a third Easter game, do you think? Or
it was exciting. Both sides at periods looked a bit tired, but it wasn't a bad game, but it wasn't a classic.
I think we started the season the first 5 or 6 weeks genuinely enthused about what we were watching.
We were
seeing more expansive rugby, I thought.
I know you're on about the third game. Did you read that? I think it was the message earlier.
I just wonder whether it's the likes
of Leeds playing Donny.
I think it is, yes.
But I also said, what would have happened if Leeds had got Salford, for
Absolutely.
Instance?
Absolutely.
What would have happened then?
Yeah. But
is it then a disadvantage?
They had the licence to do it because of the way the draw worked. But do you think the standard overall, everybody in the room, is starting to wane a little bit as we get further into the season and this logjam of games starts to take effect.
I wonder, Phil, if the fact that all the games if it's so tight is actually affecting the standard, because all of a sudden it's become about winning rather than about how you play. And it is. It's all.
But it wasn't in the early part of the season. I thought we were seeing a more
feeling out process. But now, Warrington, for instance, it's all about winning. It doesn't matter how they win; they've got to win.
Is that because it had to be because of the poor start that they had to the season? Well, then, as the sun comes out and the players come back, are they now going
to
start? Are they going
to
start playing more in the Warrington manner? If they can work out what their best combination is.
I don't know. I'd say it's going to play in the St Helens manner, or are they just going to try and win games to make sure they get in the top eight?
Well, I was going to say that about you. You know, we St Helens, because I tell you what, how bad are they? How bad are they? And you talk about the style of play. And we know Kieran Cunningham's gone now, and his big signing with Marty Smith, but I tell you what, he's not turning up at any pots, is he, at the moment, the way he's going, and the way that he wants to play, you know, dropping off inside, dropping off, and just play like he used to play at Wigan. But that's not the St Helens way. But Saints, again, and I've mentioned it previously, and I've mentioned it again here now, you know, them players, all they're doing is talking. St Helens were a massive club. St Helens were used to finals. St Helens were used to big games. Hey, listen, fellas. Hey, listen, I can tell you now. I'll tell you now, live here on Radio Yorkshire, the way you are playing, you are absolute miles away from getting to any sort of semi-final, getting towards any top four, getting towards any Challenge Cup final or Super League Grand Final, because all you're doing, you're talking the talk instead of walking the walk. And unfortunately, you've cost Kieran Cunningham his job. All right, yeah, the style of play may have been to blame for Kieran from there, but one thing for sure here now, if Sean Long and the other guy who's the assistant, who's the other guy?
Jamal Alisi. Derek Trainer.
Well, Derek, he's the development side under 19, so he's not in for the job. But if there's any chance of Longy and the other guy getting the job, they've absolutely no chance. Mike Rush is out now in Australia, but the way St Helens are going, again, you players, I hope you're listening. Or if you supporters are listening, tell your players what Scully's saying about them. Stop talking the talk and start walking the walk.
I mean, Saints said they were probably going to give the job to Long and Alisi for the remainder of the season. Do you think that they'll now hasten the new coach coming?
Possible, absolutely.
If they have to buy somebody out of an assistant's contract
Do you know what? Some of them players, they need a huge kick up the backside. They do, because they're in a comfort zone. They're in an absolute comfort zone, and then I say they're talking the talk.
Oh. How much are they missing James Robey?
Well, Robes now is getting to the age where the ghost
is still a key part.
He's not a St Helens player.
They'd started moving him onto the bench to mean that he didn't do 150 tackles a game. But is it similar to how Hull had to cope without Danny Houghton, that when you lose the guy in the middle of the field that gives you most of your energy, it's very hard to replicate?
Yeah, but Robey's his dummy hard play and all. But say to Tommy Lee again with the recruitment there, he's not good enough for St Helens.
Is it that we just don't have enough quality players to choose from at the moment?
I think that's been a problem for a few years, hasn't it? The round of quality. But again, the question is, from my point of view, we're saying, what's happened to Ewan Richardson? Totally blown out. What's happened to Ewan Richardson? Hey?
Well, we'll see. It's interesting, I don't know if he played the other night, but he hadn't come back. It's interesting he hadn't been brought back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although I must say, we're very lucky this year to have seen some fabulous talent start emerging. I mean, Regan Grace has made a massive impact. I know that he's in a team at the moment that perhaps isn't playing as well as they could. Jack Walker for Leeds on Friday night, you know, came from nowhere to score a hat-trick. Fantastic. Danny Walker at Widnes, along with Owen Fowler. Tom Davis at Wigan. Two magnificent
tries. Two lovely finishes yesterday.
Liam Marshall, was it 10 tries in 9 games? The one thing we have seen is an emergence of exciting three quarters.
I tell you what, I like that four side. The other lad has been playing in the centre.
Yeah,
he's a good player.
Yeah, he's a big lad, Chaparral, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a bit of skill about him.
But one for sure, we know we weren't. He doesn't complain about injuries. He doesn't complain about too many games. He believes in the philosophy that Wigan have got, and the young kids who are coming through, they're all welcome into that first team dressing room with all the big egos and all the experience. Come on, lads, come and be part of us, because you know what the Wigan system is. Go out there and enjoy yourself. And
The fact that they've won three games over this Easter period with a partly busted squad, and having come into those games not in the best of form, they will be loving going to Castleford this weekend.
I feel like I should say that Sean Wayne never needs to talk about injuries because other media people talk about them for him. Wigan always down to the bare bones.
Tell you what, he's not rich. He's starting to get a bit angry these days.
Just wait.
Let's have a look at some social media get a shot.
Here from Brian and Maggie, who were at Salford versus Toronto, so unlike the rest of us, actually saw the game. Maggie says there were no tactics. Both teams played as hard as each other. The officials missed a few. That's No surprise there. I really wish we could all watch the stream back. Well, don't we all?
440,000 watched it.
Amazing, isn't it?
Wow.
And I really wish owners would refrain from making comments on social media, which is born of personal issues in the past.
Okay.
And Brian, who was also there, says, I was there, there was nothing in it. Salford fans didn't like the fact it wasn't easy for them, and Toronto didn't roll over. Brian also mentions the Nines, the Commonwealth Nines, which are coming, which he was very excited. He was tweeting about this earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, it would appear that the Commonwealth Games Federation have agreed for Rugby League Nines to be an exhibition sport. It's not fully in the games. The games start in April on the Gold Coast, and this is going to be a competition in Brisbane in February. It's going to be up to 12 nations maximum, but it's going to be age limited. I believe it's going to be under 23s. We saw it at Glasgow in the last Commonwealth Games. It was an exhibition that was, I think, was under 19s, and there were some invitations given out, so they weren't fully representative. I think was it the Northwest represented England and Sydney Roosters represented Australia, but Papua New Guinea won it. And when they went back home, the first thing that nation's ever won at rugby league, it was absolutely enormous. And the plan is that if you do two exhibitions, that you get the chance to be a listed event come the next Commonwealth Games, which would be 2022, and could well be, if Brian Barwick's got anything to do with it, in Liverpool.
Or
possibly Manchester.
Why doesn't Leeds bid for it?
Well, I think it depends on the number of stadia you've got or access to, but it would be great if it was over here and it became a medal event.
A few people saying Gathering Springer not been as good as he was last season, this season, for Gaston, and people are asking, with those defeats, have the wheels fallen off stroke bubble burst at Castleford?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Absolutely not.
People,
every team is always going to have a dip in form. You can't
They've lost by one, two, and four points.
You can't play at the intensity they play at without taking some collateral damage. They'll be absolutely fine.
Big game against Wigan this week, and they will be without several key men the week after.
Yeah, we're not mentioning the international, but it could affect them, obviously, because three very important players won't be playing with them for definitely 1 week, possibly two if they've got jet lag.
Tell you what as well, guys, 7 weeks ago, Brian McDermott, and I think we all left in here after that
tabletop on Thursday.
After that performance against Castleford, 66-10, was it? If I remember, 7 weeks ago. Boy, oh boy! I tell you what, when the Rhinos hammered, when the Rhinos hammered the Giants on Thursday night, if Cass get beat by Wigan, the Rhinos, after what round 12, after what happened 7 weeks ago, top of the league. Who would have thought that? Who would have thought that? Eh? Sensational. But as I say, with Leeds, McDermott, for mine, nothing to do with the coaching staff, them players, after last season, them players have decided, have their own team meeting, look in the mirror, and say, right, OK, let's stop sulking here. Let's stop sulking. As individuals, we're good players. As a team, collectively, we can be a good team. And that's exactly what they've done. And I tell you what, well done, Leeds. Well done, I'm delighted. Absolutely delighted.
The quality of the youngsters starting to emerge as well is higher than it has been over the last two or three
years.
Well,
there's Golden who's coming there, Phil, so who else is there?
Well, I think you're looking at just some of the ones that are on the fringes at the moment. Baldwinson's getting a run. Ormondroyd looks all right. Mullally has been a revelation, hasn't come through the junior system.
The young kid who's 6 foot seven, what's his name?
Aledski got his debut.
Aledski. Yeah, I like him.
Jack Walker can play halfback, and, you know, a hat-trick on your debut is not many managed to achieve that. I think they've got more reserve to call on at the moment of a higher quality.
But seeing after round 12, after what happened 7 weeks ago, we wouldn't have thought we'd be sitting here, would we, Leeds being top, would we?
No.
Eh? We wouldn't.
No.
What makes it more impressive about Aledski is you wanted to speak to him today, Mark, but why couldn't you speak to him?
He was at school, apparently.
Yes.
couldn't speak to him. He was at school.
With a packed lunch, given to him by his Olympic rowing mother.
With a packed lunch, he had to take in a wheelbarrow. Wow.
He's a growing lad.
I'll tell you what, that lad, if he has a nightmare six games, he'll still get 9 out of 10 from me. Don't worry about that. Picking for England now. Is he allowed for England? Picking for England.
Well, no, because he's got Polish heritage, so you all want him.
Oh, no, he can't play for England.
He's born in Gdansk.
Can't play for England. Even though he's just
played for England Academy, he can't play for England.
Germany's Tom
Johnson. When did he move here?
Tom Johnson.
We keep getting told off for not calling him Tom Johnstone.
Yeah.
Born in Germany, not eligible to play for England.
Yeah. Tom Johnstone. All right, okay.
Tom Johnstone's him who plays for Man City.
people, who do you want in the Challenge Cup? Who's going to win it? People have asked him, who do you think will win?
I like it. They said, what do we think the draw will be like? We've any kind of influence on these things.
What time is the draw? Is it night time?
6:30.
Who's doing it? Do we know?
Senior and joint.
All right. I've not been. I've not been. I've spent the last few years since I reckon I made a toll.
Did you drop a ball?
No, they said I called the wrong number. Me and Alex did it. They said, and it was Marwen at Salford. They wanted a redraw. Alex called number 9 and I called 6, so I called 9 and it should have been. And they went ballistic. Were live on BBC. They went absolutely ballistic. You know, saying it were fixed. I got blamed for that.
Leave your warm ball.
It was three years ago. Honestly, it was laughable. Absolute laughable. They wanted me shot. I'm trying to remember who did.
Join an ever growing list.
Salford got drawn away to a hard team, and that, I think that's why they were going ballistic.
You know, like on EastEnders, when one of the people gets shot and they have a big whodunit. If you ever got shot, the list would be. They need like a roll of wallpaper to get all the names on.
No, to be honest with you, they'd all come out. Yeah, it was me.
There'd be somebody with a smoking gun at the back called Lawton.
Hey, do you know,
head of the queue.
Yeah, you was. Yeah. Hey, do you know, it's interesting as well, the whole yesterday, because I was walking out the ground with my good mucker Crooksy, and we was talking, going to the car park. It was about 2 or 3 yards in front of me. And there were two.
So basically, what you're saying is, you were both at all and he didn't want to be seen walking next to you. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, so then we walked past two Hull fans, and the two blokes, about 64, 65, and one of them shouts, "You all right, Lee?" He went, "Yeah, I'm okay." And then the woman shouted, "You security for him, are you?" So I went, "You what?" He went, "No, security for you, is he?" I went, "Listen, just because I tell the truth, I don't need security, don't worry about that." You don't know anything, you. I said, "I don't need security, don't worry about that." Yeah, the fuck? Crookshaw with my bodyguard. Pathetic, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
What as opposed to your body double.
Yeah. Pathetic.
Oh, well, never mind. Tony Club has been playing with an amazing illness, really, when you look at that. How the hell has he done that?
And he's just turned around and said, "Yeah, I'll have a kidney out because that'll improve the amount of water I can take on during a game." Said, what on earth? We'd be weeping for months, and he's going, "Yeah, could you get it done inside a day? Because I need to be playing again in 3 months." Well, astonishing.
Just shows his commitment to the game, and also as well, just he has to have it done because he wants to play at this level. That's great credit.
The fact is, he doesn't have to have it done. Mm. It's not a medical condition that means he has to have it done.
Yeah.
He wants to have it done because it'll improve.
Same,
yeah,
and he can play at this
unbelievable.
Same level.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Fair credit to him. Great credit.
Okay, good stuff. Let's have a look on social media then. Keep them coming in, at RL on RY. People that are watching on Facebook, please share it. I know a lot of you are doing that tonight. Just also spread the word.
Vic has asked which test matches were feisty affairs. Which one stood out as the most feisty? He says the 1991 at Old Trafford.
91 at Old Trafford?
90
at Old Trafford. Oh, yeah. That one, yeah, when to Big Mal pushed.
Robbed.
Yeah, Big Mal, pushing everybody about. But I can remember first test in Australia against me on Mucker Crooksy, 84, the Sydney Cricket Ground. And Lee had already made a name for himself in 82, hadn't he? You know, fighting Les Boyd and fighting everybody around me and all this sort of thing, to be honest with you. And then I think it's after about 15 minutes, and he decides just to take the pack on. And I'm stood out in the centres. And I'm shouting, "Go on, get stuck in, and running at side of me were all other forwards. You know, and I was saying, "Hey, you get involved in there, help Crooksy out." But I wouldn't imagine the 84 one were there. But I think the most brutalist one, I wasn't playing it, and we got embarrassed for us, to be honest. Well, the second test in 88, and they just literally tried smashing the Aussies and just taking the Reds off. We just got penalised out of the game, to be honest with you. So, 88. But the second test in 84, I think he tackled just around the forehead. Chris Burton, remember Chris Burton? Good player, Chris. Huddersfield, Lucas, Rovers and Leeds. And Chris, he did a tackle below the forehead. And it was in the second test. And King Wally, you know, he was the main man. And he was literally doing everything, causing havoc. And I must admit, the swinging arm, what Chris Burton tried to take Wally's head off, if he would have connected, we were playing in Brisbane, his head would have finished up in Sydney. Honestly, he was just lucky enough the way Wally ducked. But then in the next set of six, when they got the ball, Brian Noble tried doing the same. And in them days, Fred will tell you about John Holmes, you know, when they used to put your elbow up. Nobby tried doing the same, stuck the elbow up and did Nobby's cheekbone from there. So that's what it was from them days. But the next one, at times in the 92 test at Melbourne where we won 33-10, the first test, Paul Hallingan, he flattened Mal Lucas and the Wigan pack. They were just literally ripped into that Aussie pack of forwards, and what a pleasure it was to play behind them that night in 92 because they just absolutely ripped into the Aussie pack from there. But that's what it was in them days. You don't see it nowadays. I'd like to see it nowadays where there's a bit of a soft enough period, and if the lads want to stand toe-to-toe and you know, say, right, OK, then, we're not bothered about the rugby ball for the first 10, 15 minutes, let's get ripped in and see who wants to handle it, then take it from there. I think the game misses that a little bit, to be honest with you, because, like as I said yesterday, it got a little bit tasty there at the cake on between Castleford and Hull. Both forwards and both sides wanted to rip in, you know, get into that contact part of it, but as he is at times, Mr Hicks, whistle happy, and then for the next 6 minutes, he just gave penalty after penalty after penalty.
Well, I think Watts apologised to Luke Gale on Twitter, and he had quite a bit of amusing banter.
Something about his eyebrows,
yeah. So, you know, just laughed it off. It's quite amusing.
Didn't you score the try of the century in 84 in the second test?
Brisbane, yeah. Touched it three times and...
corner to the other.
Yes, that's...
Oh, don't feed your ego.
That's the old British... The old British...
Put it on YouTube. It was worth watching.
The old British
Des Drummond was magnificent in it.
Had the good wear, yeah. Drummond good wear. Yeah, the old British wear. Let the ball do the work. Bit of pace, let the ball do the work, lad. But, yeah, great time. But Crooksy, oh boy, he wouldn't take a backward step against anybody.
And that was in the car park.
Yeah, I felt sorry for him. I'm just stood there, go on, Lee. There's Ray Price, there's Wayne Pearce, there's Dave Brown, there's Greg Kinescu knocking out a poor lad. And there's forward stood outside of me, and I'm like, go on, get yourself in there. Help him out, but they didn't, but anyway.
Stevens asks, which were the coaches you enjoyed playing under the most, either club or international level?
The coaches I enjoyed playing under was David Ward, Malcolm Reilly, Frank Stanton and Arthur Bunting, quite simply because, as I say, I like to roam around a little bit, serving from a centre. I was never in the centres. I was all over the place scoring, try supporting players who can ball handle, and Steve Norton, Crooks himself, David Topless, to say the likes. And then, and I say, when I moved to stand-off, that's where David Ward put me from there. Mal really put me at international level. And also, too, Frank Stanton, when I went to Balmain in 85, quite simply just said to me, listen, you're here to score us tries. You've got a free roll, which was music to my ears. Just get in your defensive line when you can get there. But all he did, he just put Wayne Pearce on the right-hand side, who did all my tackling. I think that season, I think Wayne Pearce did about 12,655 tackles, to be honest with you. I think I did about 12, and he did all my tackling for me. But, yeah, they're the four coaches who I really enjoy playing under because they didn't take anything away what was part of my game. And just let me play with that as I keep going on about that vision awareness and creativity.
Vision and awareness. Tick that one off if you've got that one off.
Yeah.
Someone asked us earlier, and I've lost the comment because we've had so many from them. Apologies, we don't get to all of them, but it is busy. Yeah. Although amusingly, Colin said, there'll never be another Scully. Mark says, thank God for that.
Mark who? Wilson.
No, but I am going to add to that. So two Marks said that.
Someone asked earlier, it's the first time I listened, do we talk about the other leagues? Yes, we do. We talk about the Championship. Mm-hmm. We talk about League One. Not so much today because there hasn't been any games because it's been the Challenge Cup weekend. But, you know, we're all looking forward to Toronto versus Oxford in a couple of weeks. And
I'll tell you what, could you show the Challenge? A little bit sad in the Schofield household at the moment. Jonathan's lost his job. Mm. Yeah, a little bit sad. A little bit sad for the lad. And he's good, to be honest with you. He's very much good.
I'd be a little bit disappointed if he was happy.
Yeah, he's good.
Well,
you
better tell him how it feels, won't you?
He's got the bully. But to be honest with you, and some of the lads explained to him when Kelly came in that they like to bring in their own staff. So I said, listen, you know, it will happen. You will unfortunately, you will lose your job because you they like to bring in their own staff. But to be honest with you, I'm a little bit disappointed because what is take that picture off there, Rich. What a picture!
I thought it was going to be the try, but it's not.
Because also as well, as I say, like John, the players respect him, even the fans of the chairman, and the excuse what Kelly's giving, which is, I find a little bit hard to take because, you know, Jonathan never applied for the Dewsbury job. He never applied for it because he didn't think he was experienced enough.
But hold on, I don't think we should be discussing this on here.
Yeah, right.
I don't think you should go into his... I'm sure whatever Neil's reasons were between him and Jonathan, they're not for everyone else.
What I'm trying to explain to Jonathan is, listen, it brings in own staffing. Whatever people have the respect for you, whatever good a job you know you've done, because he won the reserve grade grand final 2 years ago and all this sort of thing. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen. But Jonathan's not happy with why he said that he didn't want him there. And I find it unprofessional. What I'll say is I find it unprofessional as what he said to you, why he doesn't want
fair
him.
Fair do. So I think the reasons should stay confidential.
Well, hopefully he won't be
to be honest with you,
that's it, lads. I'm thinking. What do you reckon?
Younger version?
A decent score available. What do you reckon?
Not quite so loud.
Not as loud. You know, a bit more common sense.
I'm hoping you can keep
a bit more vision and awareness. What do you think?
Well, I'm hoping with the new Magic Weekend shirts being released this weekend, I'm hoping he can keep one to the side because I know it's going to be popular.
Also, you want in favour. You're getting lights going now. You always want something for nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've had a think, Scoey. We'll give you another week. Jonathan's available.
He'll be available Monday nights now. He'll be available.
What were we thinking? Monday, Thursdays, Sundays, and Fridays.
What was that picture you had up there? It's a show.
It was Matt. You know what, Matt sent me the video, but I thought it was going to be the try.
That was an interview. Channel 7. That was 84. I'd scored 4 tries and kicked 4 goals against a Queensland side.
Nick,
26 points I scored in the game.
Nick, I'm not going to ask that question because that happens every week.
We've been there before, Nick. I thought Nick was being really kind, offering you to throw them all, get you a few beers. Now he wants to know that Dougie Law.
But Barry says, would you have enjoyed playing with Darryl Powell as coach?
Absolutely. I enjoy playing with Dal as a player. You know, indeed, we was both in the centres with the Great Britain side. Yeah, I enjoy playing with Dal as a player. Oh, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Of course I would. I tell you what, every player in Super League would love to be coached by Darryl Powell. Or, as I've mentioned before, every player in Super League would like their own coaches to have the same philosophy, I guess, as what Darryl Powell has got.
Andy asked as well, we think Warrington will finish this year. They seem to be improving and pick up points despite not playing too well.
I reckon Warrington will finish 6th.
Okay.
There you go.
Phil?
I think the next 3 weeks are important. They've got something to build on, but they need to get a settled team. They need to decide who their first-choice halfbacks are. It's not quite working for them at the moment.
The balance isn't there yet, Phil, is it?
But when some more of their players come back from injury, the grounds are hard, they're throwing the ball around, I think they'll be... Possibly. I don't know, can they still make the four, do you reckon? There's a bit of a gap in Super League at the moment.
It's a fascinating table, isn't it?
There's a 3-point gap after the top 5, and there's a 3-point gap from the bottom 3. So are we starting to see the halfway stage? Are we now starting to see a pattern emerging, do you think?
Warrington play Hull, don't they, Friday night? So if Hull beat that, then Warrington on 9, Hull, they can't make the 4, Warrington.
Right.
I reckon they'll finish 6.
Do you think we've got 3 of the bottom 4 already?
Yeah. I think the bottom 3
at the halfway stage. And have we got 5 of the top 4 already?
5 of the top 4?
Are there 5 clubs, do you think, now battling it out for the top 4?
I don't think Warrington are out of it yet. I think they've just got their acting gear quickly. It's going to be a big ask.
Yeah, but I think they could
make 6 off. They're only 6 off.
I'll tell you
what. There's 19 games left.
Everybody to play. Well, there isn't, though, is there? There's only 12 games left until they have the split.
Yeah, but if they're in the top 8, they're in, aren't they?
They've got enough to still be in the shake.
I'll tell you what, I'm saying here now, the way they are playing, St Helens, can they be dragged into the bottom?
Well, that's the big question. Who, if we think the bottom 3 are the bottom 3, who's the other one?
I reckon it could be St Helens. I honestly do. St Helens, I do, yeah. They are absolute rubbish. They are.
Might depend on who the new coach is.
I tell you what, Eamon McManus, he must be absolutely pulling his hair out for what he's seen there. Because they are rubbish. They are.
Well, certainly the talent they've got on the field is better than the results that they're producing at the moment.
They're boring, aren't they? Absolute
Will
boring.
A new coach change that?
Well, if it's an Australian, no. No, they won't.
Right,
no,
fair enough. What does anyone else want to talk about? Anything else? That's
I mean, well, people think we're talking too much about the olden days, but the olden days.
Who says that?
Who was that? Gary. Come on, chaps, let's move back to the present day.
What do you want to talk about, Gary? Set the agenda, son. Set the agenda. People were asking Scoey about
Gary. Look at Gary. I think Cass will do a witness and start to fade due to lack of squad depth.
Yeah, Gary, you're banned.
Yeah, but witness are rubbish. Witness's players are rubbish and Castleman's players are good.
Tell you what.
There's your analysis.
Well, you won't even on Monday night anymore, will you? The way Shaw Rice would be.
Jeez.
He won't need me anymore.
If he'd have ripped in with that aggression in the Wakefield Skills Cup final, he would have had a
winner. It would have been a gold medal, not a silver one.
Gold.
Yeah.
It would have been.
You look at the league table, if it all went wrong from now on for Wakefield and he dropped into the bottom four, Lee Huddersfield and win this. What's happened to Lee? What has happened to Lee?
Playing week in, week out Super League.
Hulk out in the Challenge Cup at the weekend.
Players aren't good enough.
Great marker down for them.
You were saying they were going to finish in the top six. Well, and it's the same players.
Well, tell you what, when you looked at it, we're saying it all the same. We wanted to, we said Ellen's with that squad, but now, quite simply, them players, they're not good enough week in and week out. Because, hey, let's look at it as well. At times when we said about Wakefield last year and the season before, they've got them players who nobody else wants. Lee have got players who nobody else wants in Super League, so them players have got to realise here, hey, listen, if we want to be part of Super League, we've got to start being that way consistent. But at this moment in time, their wheels on that bus, they're not punctured, them wheels on that bus, they have fallen off.
Does Mr. Beaumont go out and sign somebody, as he did in the Championship? Does he make...
They might have to.
Yeah, but who's he going to sign?
Make a marquee signing?
Who's he going to sign? Who's he going to sign?
Well, he could get anybody with this marquee role.
But who's a marquee player out there? Sam Tompkins?
Chris Hightington.
Sam Tompkins?
He's international.
Could he go on loan?
Value's gone.
Could do.
Could he go on loan?
Could do.
I'll tell you what,
Ryan Bright. Oh, no.
I'll tell you what, Wolfie, for sure, Sam Tompkins ain't getting in that Wigan side. He's not getting in that Wigan side the way they're playing. And as I say about
Sean... That'd be a coup, wouldn't it? Going to Lee on loan.
I'll tell you, Wigan about Sean Wayne, he could care less about reputations. He's all about Wigan Rugby League Club, and who's doing the business now is them young kids there. So, as I said last week, Sam Tompkins, he's got to reinvent himself as a Rugby League player. He's not going to get there as a fullback. He's not going to be a halfback. He's going to build himself up to be a loose forward. Interesting one for Sam Tompkins to reinvent himself. Could he go to Lee on loan?
Big result for Hull KR, though, winning at Lee. Yeah, I think, again, I think Rovers treated that as a benchmark game to just say, we know that week in, week out, we're not getting the same tests as we will do when we get into the qualifiers, and perhaps that we will do if we get into the £1 million game. So we're going to treat this as though it's the end of the season rather than just a cup tie. And very impressive result from Rovers and the way they went about their business.
Absolutely.
John's asked us to talk about the Championship, and Barry's asked us, will the Bulls end up relegated? So there's a neat combination. Someone asked this earlier. Dean Chisholm, what's all about then?
Oh, did I say Jeff Toovey? Is he still on holiday?
Was
it Headingley on Friday night?
I'll tell you what he's like, you.
On Friday night, was it him and Andrew...
Is he still here, Jeff Toovey?
Yeah, him and Andrew Chalmers were guests at Headingley on Friday night, presumably picking some on loan players, but...
Oh. That's interesting, though, because I'm an ex-player and ex-captain of Leeds, and I didn't get invited on Friday night. Oh. How come Toovey...
But you're not coach of Bradford, are you?
How come...
He's not coach of Bradford.
How come no one has complained about it? I was a Bradford fan. I was a fan
you
of the old
Bradford Bulls, not the new one.
Just
new
looking
one,
at that, the bottom of that Championship table and the question, what do we think will happen to Bradford? Dewsbury are on a bit of a run because they've got a new coach. Okay. Starting to improve a little bit.
Swinton might have a
big
now.
Big cup win. Swinton will get a boost from what they've just done at Huddersfield. Then there's a big gap to Oldham and Rochdale. Are the Bulls in danger of being cut adrift?
They will get more players now. And Swinton, sadly for them, the success of doing that means they'll have to play a double week somewhere. I think they will get out, but you never know.
Where will they get more players from?
Leeds, they'll get them from somewhere. It's the best thing for the rugby league that Bradford are in the Championship.
Absolutely.
They'll find a way.
Some of the players they may have had from Leeds may not be the ones that are going back. That's the only thing. I think somebody like Aledski and Jordan Roberts have been recalled because I think they can see them doing a job at Leeds.
Dewsbury Oldham this week in the Championship. That's a big game. Very big game. Bradford are apt to lose on Saturday.
Tough ask.
Will they lose
magnificently at home?
They'll get hammered at Toulouse, won't they?
Absolutely. They've got to be the surprise packet of the season. Yeah. Toulouse. I don't think any of us thought they would be playing to the level that they are on a week in, week out basis with barely much recruitment from when they were in League One, and they've been a revelation, I think.
They are. Top five pulling away. Batley have got work to do, and Sheffield have as well. We got a tweet earlier from Tyler, who's a regular listener.
Yes.
We're on about the fact that Cass would lose players for the Huddersfield game. He said, don't worry, we're gonna get some on loan from Swinton. That could do the job.
He's also asked if Salford have got any squad depth. What happens if they have injuries or suspensions?
I agree with that.
No, they haven't, because they've got no reserves and no academy.
Yeah,
and they will have a suspension coming up on the wing.
No reserves.
Yeah.
Todd Carney reinvents himself as a winger.
Yeah. Joe has asked, where are Wakefield if you're going wrong? Because they are close, but don't like the
hard
play
the ball
change
properly.
All the time. Milky and
they're not far away. They're not far. That's the nature of Super League.
And again, if we look at the
far
fact,
away.
If we look at the fact that Wakefield, we know, don't spend the salary cap, then they're surely performing
they
above where they
well,
should
I'll
be.
Well, I'll tell you what, then we're looking here. The top five at the moment, Salford, Hull, Warwick, Wigan, Leeds and Cass. So there's three, Dragons, Wakefield and St Helens. We're anticipating Warrington won't be in the bottom four. So, who could be dragged in there? The Catalans, Trinity or St Helens in the bottom four?
That's a big game this week, then, isn't
we're
it?
We're anticipating Warrington and won't be in the bottom four. So which three teams are going to get dragged in, then?
I think Catalan have improved significantly over Easter. Although they lost at Wigan, I thought the two results that they had were important for them. They seem to turn their ship around.
Well,
a
they go
bit.
To Wakefield this weekend, so that's a huge game, isn't
massive,
it?
Absolutely
huge game.
Massive game.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you think Jacob Miller had his most effective game of the season at Warrington?
I think he plays better alongside Liam Finn, doesn't he?
I just thought that Wakefield lost that game more than Warrington won. With 20 minutes to go, Wakefield almost said, we are not going to lose, rather than we are going to win. And they became very inhibited.
It might be a matter
of playing.
The fact that Wakefield have been in that position for so long where they, you know, have been down the bottom, maybe it's a mentality thing that will change over time. But as I said earlier, if Wakefield have competed in 9 of the 11 games so far, chalk off the Leeds game, chalk off Cass, where we played all right, but Cass are great. So, you know, to have competed in all those games, should have beaten Huddersfield, should have beaten Warrington.
Aren't Wakefield just exactly where you thought they would be?
And if they did
and
drop
if they
out,
stay
if
above
they drop
the line,
into the,
great.
Well, but if they went into 9th,
they're
better than Leeds, they're better than Huddersfield, they're better than Widnes.
Go on, Rich. Bit of positivity. I like it. You're still not getting a free shirt.
Yeah.
You'll have to buy it. You know that, don't you?
No,
I tell you what, you know, like I said in Australia, Fantasy Island. He lives in Fantasy Island sometimes.
He lives in Fantasy Island sometimes.
Witness Huddersfield Lee, they're not as good as Wakefield.
No, they're not that good, Rich.
I didn't say we're that good.
Well, you should, you know, Wakefield fan.
I've still got a quid on us at 40s to win the Challenge Cup. It's too short. Joanne says, it's the Aston Derby. Feb versus Sheffield this Sunday.
It is.
Father and son.
Looking forward to some more cake there. David Brown says, Sam Tompkins was voted the worst ever signing in NRL history or Rugby League week. Do you think this was an attitude problem or injury? Can't be worse than Michael Corkeda, surely, but there you go.
I think he was getting used to a totally different style of play.
Kevin says the Lee Hull KR result will have no impact on the middle eights. Ad says, why don't we give Swinton a mention? We did.
We have.
We thought it was great.
We
did.
Great, absolutely
spent
great.
A lot of time.
Colin said there was no point in you going to Leeds and Doncaster because you got your nap watching Widnes and Saints instead, so you know, it was better off for you.
Yeah, good call.
Dawn says Sam could get in the side when if Tommy Lulawai's got a broken jaw. Which we don't know what's happened to him.
He can't play halfback. There's no creativity in him at all. He's not a halfback.
Who, Powell?
No, Tompkins.
Oh.
So Tompkins.
Sam Powell played. He went in there yesterday. He did all right, Powell. Good. I like Powell. He's a good player.
Sam Tompkins has got to reinvent himself as a player.
Mm.
Do you not agree with that?
He's got to get back first, fit. He's not been fit for a long time.
I mean, is it beyond the realms of possibility that he could get fit going to Lee for a month?
Maybe so, yeah, maybe so. Because I tell you,
Because he'd do a fabulous job for
Sean Wayne will not pick him on reputation alone. No way made. They've given Iskari a new three-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's in running at this moment in time for the Man of Steel and what have you. No way made. He won't fill the halfback spots. Not at all. And as I say, the only way for mine is that he's playing loose forward.
Oh, dear. Scott, you've been seen walking to Asda this morning. Were your flip-flops on?
Yeah, in
Is
Cass.
This true?
Yes, in Cass, yes. My car was in for its MOT, so I had a couple of hours to spare, so I just went on a nice athlete walk. Could be a comeback somewhere. Could be a comeback for some team.
I walked
as I had an athlete's breakfast, and then walking back, and halfway down, the heavens just opened, and I've got my flip-flops, my shorts, and my T-shirt, my tracksuit top. I got absolute drenched, and somebody, you know, people were driving, and, you know, they noticed alleged walking about, and all they're doing is papping their own, not just saying, do you want to lift anywhere? I got absolute drenched, but anyway, enjoyed it.
Anything else happening?
Well, people have just joined us agreeing with Scotty that we should only pick English people and not Aussies. Okay. And everyone's found that tweet from Chris McQueen. Yes. So everyone's amused at that. So he might pull out of the squad or something.
Predictions?
Everyone wants to know who's going to win the cup. We don't know.
Well,
anyone.
We've been asked as well to do our predictions.
Yes, which everyone loves this bit. Everyone joins in on Facebook.
Of course they do. That's the plan. Some big games. We've got three live games this week. Thursday night, Leeds Huddersfield. We'll be there live. Saturday, Cass Wigan.
Whoa, not on the telly.
And Sunday, we're at Wakefield Catalans. So it's a full house of rugby league this weekend. Chucking a bit of football Saturday afternoon as well. Leeds Norwich.
Oh, dear.
It's all on. All on this weekend. So we'll start off with the first game of the weekend. It's Leeds versus Huddersfield. 8 o'clock kickoff, live on Radio Yorkshire. Gary Schofield, who's going
to
win?
Leeds, where they deserve to be, top of the league. Huddersfield, absolute mess. The Rhinos by 28.
Yeah, I think Leeds will win that. Huddersfield just seem to be in disarray at the moment.
Yeah, 20-odd, 22.
How many, Phil?
Oh, I don't... I'm not clever enough to think of margins.
By the way, Newcastle winning the football. Go on, we move on. We digress. Mark. Rich, what do you say?
Yeah, I said 22.
I'll go 14. Right, quickly moving on. Hull Warrington.
Yeah, it's Hull. It's plenty of confidence here. I'm going the FC by 14.
Yeah, and I think Hull will take that defensive performance from this week into next week.
Hull by 6.
Okay. I'm just looking at the football. Oh, Preston should have equalised. Hull by 14 again. St Helens Lee.
This could be another game where if it was on television I'd be falling asleep. That is for sure. And then I said one rubbish side in St Helens. The wheels have fallen off Lee Centurions, but St Helens at home. I'll go for a boring win by 8, St Helens.
Yeah, I think Saints will win. I can't see Lee coming back from last week that quickly.
Saints by 10.
Okay. Saints by 14. Cass Wigan.
It all depends if
live on radio,
it all depends if Luke Gale, but we'll be for sure here now. Wigan, they all want revenge. I'm going for Castleford to get beaten. I'm going the Warriors by 7.
Cass need a response. I don't think it is down to whether Luke Gale plays or not, because they're going to have to learn to play without him anyway. So I think Cass very narrowly. But I wouldn't be surprised if Wigan go above them.
Draw.
I'll go Castleford because I think Lulu. Well, looks pretty certain Lulu I'll be missing, and I just wonder if Wigan might have just won too many injuries. So Cass by 7 for me. Salford Widnes.
Salford get back to the good league form with the confidence. I'm going Salford by 16.
I'm going Widnes. I think
you bonkers, Phil Cameron.
Yes, absolutely. I just think the determination that they showed to grind out that victory last week. I think they will take that to Salford. Who will be a bit bruised after Toronto, and Widders might pull off a shock.
It's offered by 10.
Yeah, Phil Kaplan. Yeah, go on, I'll go with you, Widness. Wakefield Catalans.
Wakefield, if they play the right halfbacks, it's Miller and Finn for mine, and if Mr. Fafita can start playing the ball properly, I'm going Wakefield by 12.
Yeah, Wakefield narrowly.
8.
Yeah, I think Wakefield will win. So we're in agreement there. Leeds Huddersfield Thursday, Cass Wigan Saturday, Wakefield Catalans on Sunday. That is pretty much us done for another week. Thank you to everyone who's interacted with the show tonight. If we don't get to your messages, we do apologise. There are literally hundreds of them coming in. But you know the drill. Anything you want to talk about rugby league, you can get stuck in. If you've missed part of the show, the podcast will be up in round about 20 minutes or so. Please download it. Leave us a review as well. If you think we're utterly mad, leave us a review. Just tell us we're mad. It's not a problem, but it does help more people see it, more people know we're here, the more we can talk about rugby league. Thanks to Richard, as always. Thanks to Phil, editor of 4020 Magazine. Thanks to the legend, Gary Schofield, for not blowing up. Not quite blowing up in the opening hour of the show, but I think the fans loved his passion as well. He is available on a free transfer if anyone wants him. Get in touch on Twitter at RLonRY. Thank you for another cracking 2 hours. We're back next week.
Thank you for downloading this Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire podcast. And as a special thank you for you, we've got a special deal just for you. Beer 52 shipped themed monthly boxes of small batch craft beer straight to your door. You can get £10 off a case of 8 delicious exclusive craft beer selected to your preferences and the award-winning Ferment magazine and a snack using our code PROPER at beer52.com. So you get 8 exclusive hand-selected beers this month. It's Norwegian craft beers. The 100-page Ferment magazine and a snack, free next-day delivery, and flexible monthly subscription. All that for £14 in your first month at beer52.com.